Hello, test, 1, 2. Hey, we have levels. All right, let me bring the levels up here. Bring the levels up here. And, all right. And bring it up here. Hello. Okay.
We're here.
There you go. We're back. Yay. All right.
Well, you know, the more we're harassed, the more I am censored. I want to finish what I was saying, and I hope people could hear me.
Yeah, you had a valid point, and that's why I'm glad that we're able to get this back up.
Were my listeners able to hear any of what I had said?
They got
previously?
Some chomp, but I would go ahead and reiterate it again.
Okay. What I wanted to sum this up, I just want to say that here we have clowns in national media. People like Vice President Al Gore and myself, we are busting through alternative channels to talk to you. And we are doing it at great risk to our personal lives. We are literally being harassed everywhere we go. I remember when Vice President Al Gore first started tapping on a global warming chart, which was showing an exponential growth over time. There was some historical data there. And it was likely that he was correct in his analysis, and he had some of the world's experts giving him advice on how to present this data. You have to remember that Vice President Al Gore is not telling you the whole thing. He's only telling you what he knows he can get away with, what he knows is legal, what he's allowed. There are certain things you cannot tell the public. But I'm gonna let you read between the lines here concerning this. When you have a former vice president of the United States screaming at you, in fact, that happened, yesterday, Jennifer?
Yep.
He's screaming at you that your planet is dying. He's saying the same exact thing that I've been saying for 20 years, warning people. We've been laughed at, scoffed at. We have been told we're crazy. You name it. Well, now they're not calling us crazy. They're no longer laughing at us. And they're no longer ignoring us. To quote Willie Nelson, if I could figure out who they were, I would have killed the son of a bitch a long time ago. That's one of my favorite quotes from Willie. So, you know, the thing about this is what Al Gore is really saying is that we need to buy time. And I say, as a futurist, as a prophet, as a psychic, as the world's very best remote viewer, I am the highest trained, the most skilled remote viewer in the world. I'm the very best at what I do. I've mastered all 8 levels of remote viewing. And I can tell you, with all of the advancements that I've made in psychic functioning, I can tell you with confidence that your future is grim ecologically. And so all of my energy and effort is efficiently quartered in the area of contact. This is the difference between Al Gore and myself. And those people who follow Al Gore's camp, they think that if someone would just listen to him, and all of a sudden, overnight, the entire world stops using fossil fuel, wakes up and starts cleaning their environment, stops having children, it's all of a sudden, you know, this, we're going to just wake up overnight and realize that our planet is dying, and somehow we can buy time. I don't think that's reality, and I know those of you listening to this, you don't feel it either. You can't save the planet by saving your pop bottles. I wish you could. You can't. It's ridiculous. You're not going to save the planet now. It's dead. We've killed it. There's nothing you can do except one thing, and that's buy time. So, yeah, save your pop bottles. But you know this. You're not saving the planet. Don't lie to yourself. Feel it with your heart. You know it. And so my emphasis is on contact, not on saving the planet. I would love to save the planet if we could. I'm telling you, as a prophet, you cannot. I see your future. I see my future. It's grim. It's over. Accept it. What we must do is go to the progenitor, the human race, and ask some questions if we can. Get some answers. We'll never find them. We're not smart enough to fix this problem we created. It's too complex. And if there are no answers, I do know that there's an information loop that we are a part of that happened to Noah. Cross-culturally, we have stories. If you go with the Native American Indians, they have the clearest answer for you concerning this. And it relates directly to what I'm talking about. Contact. the ant people, as the Hopi refer them, the Messiah, the creator, the male figure creator, Lucifer is also the Messiah, as the Hopi refer to it. We need to talk to this creator, God, as the Hopi refer to it. We need answers. We need contact. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to see all kinds of people, false prophets throughout the world who are going to pop up everywhere, like this fool, this Yowie fella. I mean, again, I don't want to belittle him, but please don't take something like this seriously. This fraudulent light show was a joke. This is a confirmed fake. We have technology to create these light shows in the sky. Our military does. This is done over an Air Force base. I'm not saying who did this. I'm just saying I know who did this, and I know how they did it. I've seen this hoax before. And I'm going to tell you something that's probably going to shock you about this. I mean, you know, this prophet Yowie and this video that was on ABC News and the whole thing. I want to tell you something that I have access to the technology. I have a photonics expert with me right now. We can build devices to make the same light show that you saw above this Yowie. Don't think for a minute that the Air Force did not know what ABC News was doing, you know, right next to their base. I'm not saying the Air Force did this. I'm just saying that our military possesses such technology to fool an enemy, for example. It's been here since World War II. It's old stuff. You can create imagery in the sky to think missiles are coming in and so on. Before that, it was stuff we inflated, you know, either on the ground or in the sky. They're decoys. This is a light show decoy type of system that can fool an enemy or scare an enemy. And right now, within the human psyche, we have a great deal of interest in strange sightings in the sky. And, of course, there's a great deal of interest amongst those people in the military and outside the military to prank the public with various schemes, various incidences like this. And that was a classic. In fact, it was a cheap light show. It wasn't even a very good one. There are better ways to present a UFO. You can make these UFOs look dense, heavy. You can give them signatures. You can auto-heat the area in the sky to give them an actual signature. I don't want to get too much into the technology, but I just want people to know that that was a cheap-ass light show. It wasn't even very good. And it was the cheapest fake I've ever seen in terms of the numbers of people who fell for it. They fell for this prank. Even at Coast to Coast, they fell hook, line, and sinker over this prank. And this Yowie fella fell for it. The thing about this Yowie is when I did a mind probe on him, I discovered that he is sincere. He really sees UFO. Look, you smoke enough dope, you're going to see UFOs. Your third eye is going to be open. This guy sees UFOs. And that isn't abnormal. Many of us see them. I was born with my third eye open. The universe is teeming with unusual life forms. I see them all the time. Now, the thing about this guy is he sees them too. He sees UFOs. That isn't abnormal for some people. What's abnormal is when you begin to associate yourself with a UFO, with an alien spacecraft. Believe me, there are a lot. It's more important than that than some guy who's slapping the name of Jesus on this thing, and that's why he was used. Because a week after, is this not true, Steve? A week after I went public, and by the way, when you count all the affiliates and everything, I'm approximating conservatively some 9 million people are going to hear this. I just want to say this: that I'm my audience is growing. Thank you all for telling your friends. This is very important, and especially in Europe. And I want to talk about the impact that we had. And I want to thank the people of France. You really, really came through for us, the youth of America and the youth of the world. France, we love you. We love you for rejecting capitalism. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. Let's go back to this interesting subject of a fake UFO sighting. everything totally staged. Now, the only question I have is who knew what? Did the producers know? I think they did. I think someone tipped them off. You know, this makes good ratings. You know, ABC, sure. Everyone's talking about it. They all, you know, they all watch the show. The ratings go up. This stuff works. It's a gimmick.
Right.
Now, the thing about it is it's not a conspiracy. The stuff works. People are interested in UFOs right now. And that interest is going to grow because we need answers. We need spiritual answers. I've got them. But this prophet Yahweh doesn't. He's got this 2,000-year-old thing, and much older, idea. He wants to slap on the name of Jesus on this UFO contact thing. A week after I announce a ritual is involved with the evocation of certain types of alien spacecraft, that they can feel the vibrational essence of that ritual and they respond. A week after that, someone pulls this crap on television. Put it together, folks. Think about it. Who was the original guy talking about this? This wasn't Ed Dames. I was talking about this long before Ed Dames ever mentioned it publicly. I'm Mr. Contact. Ed Dames is ripping me off. He's trying to be Aaron. Mr. Yahweh is trying to be Aaron. Now, he says he's been doing this for 20 years. Really? He's been seeing UFOs for 20 years. I've been seeing UFOs for at least twice that. Seeing them all my life. I can tell you this, that doesn't make me so special that I'm not going to call myself the prophet of God. I call myself a prophet because you can be a prophet. You can learn how to use that part of your brain and be just like me. No better than you are. Mr. Yahweh is putting himself in a position where he's special. He really believes that he is central, the central theme to this UFO issue, and yet all he really is central to the theme of a bunch of frightened Christians who now realize that there's something to this UFO issue and they want to fit it into their program because it's a fear-based program and they're fearful people. They're programmed to fear everything, and this helps them feel better. If you slap the name of Jesus on a UFO issue, these Christians feel a little bit better about it. That's why it's so popular. He was being used as a pawn to slap the name of Jesus on the issue of evocation of UFO. Think about it. I announce it here. All of a sudden, it's on the news, nationally, all over the world. And I'm telling you, this was a cheap-ass fake. I can produce the same type of light show as you had seen right there above that Air Force base. And look, I'm going to tell you, the Air Force and the military has better technology. That technology is something that an amateur can pick up or build themselves and produce in the sky. That is a classic fake. And by the way, anyone who's really seen a UFO, really seen an alien spacecraft, and I have. I've got pictures to prove it.
Quick question from someone. One of the listeners was asking, do you think the Christians are trying to slap UFO contact as rapture?
Of course, I know these wacko Christians. They're going to morph their religion into this thing that I'm doing, and they're not going to get away with it because I'm here to destroy Christianity. I'm here to give you the truth, and I want to see the four great religions crumble before our feet. We're involved with a one-world government. It's a one-world socialist government, an eco-friendly government, a people-friendly government, a government that has a spiritual core to it. Now, I want to go back to the issue of the UFO and the sighting. First of all, for those of you who have seen real UFO, you know what a real UFO looks like. You know what a real alien craft looks like. There's this quality of light that has a crispness or a hardness to it, a hard-edged feel to it. If you've ever taken LSD or taken DMT or anything like that, you know those hard edges appear in colors. Things become more vivid and crisp. When you see a UFO, whether you're on something or not, I'm going to tell you, it's very much like you're on something because you get that crisp, hard edge, that quality of light that you don't see anywhere else. And you don't see a cheap-ass light show. There is a difference between a cheap-ass hoax light show in the sky that's staged, obviously staged. We have a bunch of people there. These producers are ready to bust out laughing any minute. They're not even taking this serious. And then they're on to the weather right after this. Amazing. No concern for this whatsoever. No interest. Just, oh, look at this. And you can tell they're almost holding back from laughter. If you look at their body language, you look at the situation there, come on. It is a classic fake. And the only one who didn't really know about it was this poor sap Yahweh. Really. But he got rich from this because he was rewarded for slapping the name of Jesus onto the UFO issue. And it is a direct assault upon the Luciferian movement because we alone have the genetic key. The Christians do not. The Jews do not have the genetic key. They're looking for the first priest. They're doing their genetic profile right now. I know who and where he is. And I know what he needs to do at the right moment, at the right time, and he's not Jewish. The Jews are not the chosen people. And when you hear any race of people say to you that they are the chosen, doesn't matter. And I love the Germans. Today the Germans aren't anything like they were in Nazi Germany. I don't want to paint that picture. But during that time, there was this idea that the Germans were the chosen people. And you see the ugliness of racism. I see the ugliness of racism in the Native American cultures today. I'm white. I'm white as snow. I'm just this white boy. Everywhere I go, you know, even amongst the Caucasians, you know, I'm like this dull white guy. You know, and I'm going to tell you, because of my white skin, I am not welcome amongst the Native American Indians. And yet I know their secrets. I'm more valuable to the Hopi than any other white person on this planet. And yet, if I were to return to Hodevilla, I would be killed. Because I'm white. And because they are racist. They have forgotten who they are. I cannot safely venture into any inner city area because I'm white. Because the black cultures in this country are racist. I have this ethnocentrist idea that they are the chosen. This is ugliness. And it's everywhere. And the Jews are the worst offenders of racism on this planet because they tell you that they are the chosen. The Ethiopians, the pink people, as they refer to themselves. Look at the Africans, and they say to the Africans, you from Hades, you from below, you, the dark ones, we're the pink ones, we're the chosen. That's racism. And that is ugly. And let me tell you the core of racism. It's about contact. It's about the blue blood. It's about the genetic key. Everyone's looking for it. I know where it is. And you're going to have an opportunity to participate with the human genetic key in South America at the right place, at the right time, for contact. Contact is not some willy-nilly thing that you just pray to Jesus or to Yahweh and into a baseball field and ask it to come down and buzz about in the sky like it's some kind of entertainment. In that case, it was entertainment. But it mocked us. And this is where I fight and I win because I have the truth. And I know who did that, by the way. And you are listening. You know someone. I'm going to say that the person who's involved with that light show, someone who knows you is listening to this, and I know who you are as well. And I know what you guys are up to. Look, I understand the prank. Just don't slap the Luciferian perspective on this, because it was deeply offensive. And you know the Christians took this, and they ran with it. George Snorri, The Christian Hour with Coast to Coast, that used to be a great program, by the way. Before George Snorri, you had Art Bell. Remember the old days of Art Bell? You were hanging on every word.
Yep.
The last time you had that feeling is when I was on Art Bell. The last time.
Yep. I can vouch for that.
Yeah. And a lot of people sent me emails saying, damn, you know, I haven't had that feeling in Art Bell in years, and Aaron, you brought it all back. You had me hanging on every word. I didn't agree with what you had to say, but you know what? You were damn interesting.
Yeah.
I remember the old days of Art Bell when he had other guests just like you on there. But today, it's all about Jesus up your ass.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit, and it's light and fluffy, and it's a lie. And they took this Yahweh thing and ran with it over and over again. Boy, they made a big deal out of it. And this guy made a lot of money on that Bell show. $7.95 to join his club. And I want to tell you that this Yahweh fellow claims that you're going to see some sightings over Vegas, that area. I'm going to tell you right now you're not going to see those sightings because I'm calling the hoaxers on this. I know what you're doing. And if you dare show up at a cheap-ass light show again, I'm going to point out where you're going to do it next. I'm going to point out what you're doing, and I'm going to call your names out. And we're going to end this once and for all. Now, I don't want to do this to this poor Yahweh fella. Just leave him alone. He got rich on the Art Bell show. Look, he doesn't know what he's doing. Leave him alone. We don't have to crucify him. He's a really nice guy. But for the Luciferian order and self-preservation, I don't care who I have to run over.
That'd be awesome. That would be so freaking awesome.
Enough said. I know who did this.
Right.
And I know that the person, someone's listening to this. I know your name. I know where you are. I know the technology that you used. I know all about this thing. And I know I would be doing it myself because it's really funny. It's a great hoax. You did it over Phoenix before, didn't you? I know what you did. And it was great. It looked, you convinced a lot of people that those lights were real. Very good. Now, I'm calling you only because, and I've known about you for some time, but I'm calling you now because I know what you're up to, and it may not be your fault, but the Christians used it for their own advantage. They slapped the name of Jesus on the invocation thing. That pissed me off. I'm still pissed.
Yeah, there's an Air Force base in Phoenix, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Funny, same place.
Isn't
huh?
that interesting?
Yeah, where that technology is, yeah. And I look, if I have to, I'll name the technology. I don't want to go that far. I need to go talk to a lawyer first.
Well, you know, Christians, they're running out of excuses for why the rapture hasn't happened. And, you know, they're looking for any little excuse.
And they're not going to steal from us.
Right. But
fucking goddamn child-raping Christians.
Actually, there's I think it was Thursday's coming show on Coast to Coast is going to be about rapture.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's the Christian hour, George Snorri.
What I want to know is when, like, the air starts to run out and they can't breathe because of global warming and all these horrible things that are about. I mean, at what point are they going to realize that they've been forsaken, that Jesus isn't coming for them? And, you know, and this, like, at what point are they going to realize it? I don't think they ever will.
Well, let me tell you, you can prove that global warming is an issue, but you can't prove that Jesus is coming back. So why the fuck do these Christians not get with us and do something?
They're creating Armageddon.
They're waiting for Jesus to save themselves.
Yep.
They're not about science.
No, and I believe that Christianity is a form of mental illness. It's called religiosity.
Yes.
And I believe it's treatable. I believe that there's an addiction side to this, too, that with the God spot of the brain, I don't want to get into too much on the physiology because people complain. Every time I get too technical, they complain. Did you get that too, Steve?
Well,
you got to do the soundbite thing. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, it's good, though, because it helps people look. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of the listeners have helped to educate each other.
Yes, and the thing about it is a lot of the times I'm talking about future technology that hasn't been discovered yet, and sometimes it's years ahead.
Well, yeah, well, you turned me on to telomerase, and I went and did the research. I'd never heard of it before, and it was great. I put a post to it in the forum so other people can learn from it, too.
We live in a miraculous time. Ask yourself, how long do you want to live? You know, if we could do something about our environment, how long do you want to live? We now have, we're in the process of cloning a human being. Well, more than one, actually. And we're learning a great deal about our genetic background, our gene structure. We're learning a great deal about human physiology and pathophysiology. We're learning a great deal about the process of disease, and we're there, you know, knowing is half the battle. We're also in the process of rebuilding the body. The aim of science has always been for permanence. And we're on the brink of having permanence. But ironically, perhaps paradoxically at the same time, we can have a perfect body and have permanence, but our environment is gone. So the subject is moot. There's no real reason for this.
I remember you, like, 5 years ago, maybe even more, saying, you know, remote viewing solutions to some of the environmental problems, like if we could plant enough trees overnight, we could cool the planet, and this is if people stop polluting. I mean, you came up with solutions for world hunger. You have all this stuff in your data files. You know,
I have a solution for cancer, for AIDS, by the way. I have a cure for the new AIDS strain that's coming up.
Oh, really? AIDS, too?
But
yes.
Unless you have groups of people supporting this, doing something and helping implement these ideas, there is no way to change the world.
We're cursed with a social condition. I cannot do this myself. What am I going to do with this information? Unless I have support, it goes nowhere. This stuff's been collecting dust in my desk for years. And as a public demonstration, as a public outcry to people, I worked very hard and produced some data concerning a cure for HIV. Cure, not a treatment. Cure. You'd be shocked to know what it is. Quite simple, actually.
Cool.
I'll never speak of it.
Yeah.
And there's no other remote viewer in the world as good as I am to find this. I guarantee it. You won't find it.
Okay.
Sadly, I'm the best in the world at this, and I'm not talking because it's my form of protest for the lack of concern. Not one person. I gave the world 30 days. I didn't say why. I didn't give out any demands. I said, in exactly 30 days, I'm going to burn the data, and I will never speak of what it is. That's all I said. You remember that?
Yep.
And each day we had a countdown on my father's website, every day. You know, you have 29 more days, and eventually down to one day, and then I burned it, live on video, burned the data. And people had the audacity to say to me, the world's best remote viewer, so, yeah, you wouldn't burn something like that. And I just don't believe it. They have no idea what the backstory is in my life. Jennifer, you remember the time I came across this fellow who was suffering from congestive heart failure? Remember how he sort of spat upon me and just about kicked us out of the store because he was so angry at us for offering him a cure for his disease?
Well, you were going through, when you become a remote viewer, you evolve. And you were going through this thing where you were looking at people and you could see what was wrong with them. And you, like, I remember you talked to somebody who had MS. And you were like, this is what you need to do. You poor thing, you're suffering and you don't need to. Here's something for you. You, like that, went into a store and there was a gentleman and he could barely breathe as he was talking to us. And you were looking at him and you were like, oh, man, you know, you don't need to.
Did I not diagnose him from head to toe?
Well,
and he asked me if I was his doctor, I knew his doctor. Because he was shocked to think that I would know all of his disease.
And he asked you if you were a doctor or whatever, and you were like, well, I just know what you need to do. And you told him it would take, you know, less than $10, and if there's a vitamin store right down the street here, and all you got to do is get
great relief for suffering. By the way, when I recommended this treatment for this person, the information concerning this treatment was verified over a year and a half after that in a published paper, I believe it was from Harvard, concerning a alternative treatment for congestive heart failure. And there's some astounding success concerning this. And by the way, I believe someone received the Nobel Prize concerning the uptake of oxygen, concerning the metabolism of nitric oxide and levels in the blood.
Yeah.
We don't want to go into that. But anyway, this guy could have benefited, you know, greatly. His suffering could have been relieved.
He said that suffering was a part of being on the planet. And that
God wanted him to suffer.
And God wanted him to suffer.
These goddamn Christians, they worship suffering and death.
And we just were floored. We couldn't believe that this guy responded in such a way, like, okay. What else can you say? And he got really angry at us.
It's amazing. These goddamn Christians, it's a form of mental illness. It's like they're flogging themselves every day. I hate myself. I'm a piece of shit. only God is great and good. I'm nothing. And, you know, this self-programming of negativity builds up over time and builds diseases and all kinds of things. Then you verify why you're a bad person. You become a martyr for Christ when you created this reality yourself. This is sickness. Christianity is a form of mental illness that has reached all forms of public media now, and I am being shunned, and so is Al Gore, because the Christians don't like what we have to say. Fuck these Christians.
Al Gore would have made
I'm coming for you, Christian, and I'm going to destroy your belief system, and you're going down with it if you want to hang on to it.
Yeah.
We're coming for you with the truth, and fuck you all.
Jen had, we had talked about Al Gore, didn't we?
Yeah.
You told me about that, and I was just blown away. I couldn't believe that he was the last chance that we had.
Really, he was. And things would be different. When we had that vote with the EU this last week, if he had been president, he probably would have gone a second term because we would have loved him. And the thing is that the EU thing was going to be coming up, and he would have aligned America right with it. And we would be moving towards a one-world government at this point. But you see, that didn't happen.
We would never, ever have gone into the Gulf under conditions of war. In fact, I would probably, if Al Gore had been president, I would probably be speaking to you from the Middle East, because I had planned years ago, at this point in my life, to become immersed in ancient Near East culture as much as I could. I'm really angry that I cannot go find out what our roots are. I had planned to live there and become immersed in the culture of the ancient Near East. I wanted to live as close as possible to Ur and study as much as I could about these cultures of people and learn the language and just be there and live there. I'm at the point now in my life when I am ready to do that, and I can do it. There's no way I could go there.
No.
We have screwed up any chance for peace we'll ever have. Do you realize not one of you listening to this will ever be able to go, especially if you're an American. In your lifetime, doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 80. You will not be able to visit the Middle East ever again because of this idiot George Bush in the White House.
Yep.
And because of this moron, you will have permanent hatred against Americans throughout the Middle East for generations to come. These are old people. They don't forget what we've done to them. Look, we've poisoned Iraq with nuclear... did you know that... that a lot of these radioactive isotopes are used in shell material to penetrate the hulls of tanks and things like that.
Yeah, uranium-tipped shells, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And that you're seeing already genetic deformities amongst the newborns throughout Iraq, and it's going to be there for countless generations. We have poisoned the Iraqi people forever. And I mean forever because we have less than 300 years left for ecosystem. After that, there are no humans on the planet.
Yeah.
So, in essence, we have permanently destroyed the cradle of civilization. What does that do to our psyche? What does that do to the psyche of the world? We're there because we want their oil. America is an energy-based economy. If Al Gore had won, well, he did.
He did win, yes.
If he had fought for his place.
Well, there are other reasons why I couldn't. There are forces far greater than those who are backing Al Gore and encouraging him to fight.
Yeah.
And they're the ones involved with putting Bush into the White House. They were the Christians. And it's the reason why you see the Christians taking over mainstream media. He who controls the eyeballs, controls the brain, controls you. And the Christians want to control you, and I'm not going to let that happen.
You know,
because they can't control the Internet. I'm here fighting. I'm being harassed. Like today, I'm here fighting to get the message out to all of you. And by the way, I want to thank all of Europe because it's my biggest audience. And speaking of the backlash against the multinational corporate power and the interest in Western-styled capitalism and imperialism, as the Chinese often refer to it, the resistance to the American way of life is greatly appreciated. And I've been saying, I wondered, would France turn down this vote? You see, there was this proposal, a constitution, which would essentially make this 25-nation bloc more like the United States in terms of its capitalist ideals that are really hurtful to the environment, hurtful to John Q. Public, the citizen, the person, the individual who's part of the system. Look, as I've been saying for a long, long time now, and I'm saying it passionately, look at your media, and look at American media. What do you see? What difference do you see? You see child molestation. You see the way we treat our children here. You do not see a future because we do not treat our children well. We built prisons in America. Capitalist America is at its end. We built prisons. We did not build universities. We did not build hospitals. We did not build libraries. We built prisons for our children. We have the world's largest prison complex. Per capita, we imprison more people than any other industrialized nation in the world. That's what we did to our children here. In France, you didn't do that. France and Germany.
Yeah.
And in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
In Belgium.
Yes.
Yes. What did you do for your children? You cared and you loved your children. And you thought about the future of your children. And you built institutions to support your children. And your children are doing well. Given our dying ecosystem, your children have the optimum chance of survival. Whereas in America, look, these people can't even bake a loaf of bread. If their centralized food distribution center goes down, these people, look, they can't even do their own nails. Americans are fat, disgusting rich people
who are
lazy and dumb.
That's true. I can't wait until the heat waves hit this summer.
They're coming
for
you.
People panic and they die.
These people go one day without electricity here in America and they panic.
It's true.
It's like the apocalypse here. These Americans are so goddamn dumb. I'm in a nation of idiots, and I'm not kidding you. These people are so dumb, I want to walk around and just poke them with sticks. You know, they're zombies. American zombies. Fat, ugly, dog-faced Americans. No wonder we're the most hated nation in the world. We're hated for one reason, because we don't even know why we're hated. That's how stupid we are. I'm not really a part of this. And I want to, I know that really is not part of the show, but I want to make an appeal. Please, if there is a nation out there, now I realize I'm a Luciferian, I'm not going to give that up. This is my conviction. I'd rather be dead. I'm a Luciferian. I know what I have seen. I know what I have experienced. And I have the truth within me, and I have a conviction, and there's no way that I can be turned. I'm a Luciferian. Luciferians don't drink babies' blood, sacrifice anything for Satan. Where that comes from, this Christian lie. If I come to your country, I'm bringing with me the secrets of the human progenitor, who's profanely referred to as Lucifer. That's not its real name. Its real name is a song, essentially. Now, I want to make an appeal. If there's a country out there that will allow me to continue my work as I am doing now, I'm willing to give up my U.S. citizenship tomorrow. But I don't want to leave my loved ones behind. The primary 11 go. My family goes with me. Because they also have information. They're also productive people in any society. I need to be optimally productive. And I have never been able to be productive in America. Because I'm not a capitalist. I'm a socialist. I'm a spiritual socialist. I'm not a communist. The reason why communism has failed is because it lacks spirituality. It's the only reason why it has failed. It was a great, great idea, and I admire Karl Marx and the whole idea, but it failed. Admit it, it's over. It's yin and yang, you know, the final idealistic war between China and the United States is coming. You know it is. Over dwindling resources, it'll happen. Yin and yang will cancel each other out, opening the world up for a new world order, a one world government, which is socialist. There's a socialist undercurrent in Europe that is vast. And guess what, folks? This socialist undercurrent is 25 years old and younger. I'm meeting people who are 17 years old who have more passion than I do about socialism, about the ideals of socialism. And these are people who are confronted with a choice in Europe, in progressive parts of Europe. They're confronted with a choice of Western-style capitalism or socialism. And they're choosing socialism, hands down, because they see America, and they see the way we treat their children, and they see Americans as being ugly, fat, stupid, uneducated, dumb, Christian hicks, cowboy hat-wearing hicks. They see us as being like the Marlboro Man, only like his brain has been fried, like there's something wrong with him. He's violent and ugly and stupid. Really, that's... And if you visit any major American city, that's what you find.
And we're really into blowing things up here.
We like shooting each other. You know, we're into guns and violence and rape and murder. And we glorify this in our media and our televisions.
And NASCAR.
Yeah. And we're car fanatics. We don't give a damn about the environment. And we're racist. There's something horribly wrong here. Please. If there's a country out there, I'm appealing to you. I am one of the most valued, I should be, intelligence gathering tools in the world. And I'm testable. And I have been tested. You've seen my TV show. More than one. I have been tested, and I scare the hell out of people because of what I do. I'm appealing to a country out there. There's a country out there that could use someone that can help your country develop a cutting edge within the financial market. I can show you order within the chaotic systems of future markets. I'll trade you that information, that skill. I'll show you where to invest your money. I'll show you where the order within chaos is of any world market. And you can outcompete any other nation. I'll give you that if you take me in your country. And I'll give up my U.S. citizenship tomorrow. And I do not, I'm not a capitalist. I'm a socialist. I don't want vast amounts of money. I want to be a productive citizen. I want to do the greatest amount of good for the greatest number of people. And I cannot do that in this country, America, because it will not allow me to do this. I'm the very best in the world at what I do. And look at this. This is pathetic. The only place where I can get this information to the world is through the Internet. And the only reason is because the U.S. government and governments like China can't figure out how to shut it down. Governments like that you find in China, oppressive governments. They can't shut it down. So I'm getting this to you as a heretic, as a maverick. I'm risking my life to do this. But I want to say it one more time. If there's a country out there, you know, the door's open, and I'll trade you something. Something you're really going to like. Your people will like it. I want to serve the human race. I cannot do that here. Because in America, money is the god. And money is not my god. I cannot stand materialism. I am not an American. The American dream is a lie. Money is a lie. It's not real. It's a state of mind. It's a belief system. It's a form of religion. Do you know there is an entity, an angelic force within Wall Street? You can well view it. It doesn't like to be seen, but it's there. You might call it Lady Luck or whatever. It's a form of gambling. It's there. Very powerful. People pray to this thing. I'm not kidding you. Wall Street is a temple. It's a religious center. It's where the true God of the American exists. And they're constantly praying to this God, feeding it money and energy and praise. People get rich by feeding this God. You're rewarded. It's a religion. When you look on the dollar bill in God We Trust, the association with trust, with belief, is there, isn't it? You want to see Christianity in its ugly core? Look at money. I don't want your money. I want to make contact. I want to show you something. I want to blow your mind. I want to reveal something to you about your right brain functioning, which has been denied to you for thousands of years. I want equality between man and woman. I want peace between the sexes. And I want to be a part of a spiritual center in Europe. I'm going to return to Europe. I mean, I'd like to do it tomorrow, but I'm opening the door up here to leave the United States permanently. You know, I think that I could do more good for the world if I were in a different environment. If I stay here any longer, I'm just going to continue to getting more and more rich. Because the only way I can make a difference here is to get rich. You know, I'm now involved with property, and I'm looking at investments. I'm starting to do this thing because I have to. Because if you don't get rich in America, you fail. You end up in the street. I don't like this. In America, you can't use public transportation because there isn't any. What you do have is shitty. You got to buy an automobile, and you got to drive somewhere. That isn't, you know, in many cases in Europe, that isn't so.
Yep.
So, you know, again, I just want to thank all the people of France. You really, really, you know, you really gave me a ray of hope here, and I would love to become a citizen of France. I agree with, you got a lot of problems there, but I think that I could do more good for the world, and I could help more people and become a productive citizen of a country like France. I could do more good in the long run than if I remain here and just start gaining more wealth. But as soon as I have enough wealth, I am going to leave the United States permanently. I'm going to give up my citizenship, and I'm going to give you all my money. I don't care. I just want to just be productive. I can't be productive here. I'm in a nest of Christians. Even if I'm shunned everywhere I go because of what I believe, because of what I know. I don't have ears here. My ears, my heart is in Europe. I want to be with you, and I want to encourage you to keep this work with socialism. I know this undercurrent. I can feel it. I know it. I've talked to a large number of people. It's very exciting, and it'll never be accepted here because we worship money. Europe is old. We've learned how to live with each other, generation after generation. When you walk through some of the older parts of Europe, imagine me as a psychic, what that feels like.
Yes.
Layer upon layer upon layer of information, of rich culture and history. America is young. And the system here, it failed. It was a great idea. And it has failed because of our greed and our wanton destruction of our environment and our ignorance. It was a great idea. America was founded on occult principles. Our founding fathers were Freemasons. They practiced the same or similar type of magic that I do, only they were secretive. All of our symbolism that you see in Washington, D.C., look at it. These are the same occult symbols that I display openly.
Yes.
America was founded on occult principles, and it was supposed to lead us to contact ultimately and remind us of where we come from and where we're gone, and now it's become radically Christian and anti-occult. The same, you have Christians in the White House stepping all over occult symbolism. They don't even know what it is. They've forgotten all about it. I don't belong here, and I have their secrets. Please, if there's a country out there, look, I'm testable, and I'm not kidding. You want me to locate a chaotic, within a chaotic system, and the markets in the future are becoming more and more chaotic. Look, this fellow who won his Nobel Prize concerning market analysis and so on, that was a long time ago. You're going to need another leap okay? If you're going to survive the chaotic system in the markets, as you see right now as a result of this this French vote, you know, barring really the realization of this constitution, this pro-Western capitalistic, this pro-multinational corporate constitution, you wonderful people of France, you have said no, hell no to America. And I'm telling, I want to make a prediction. I want you to understand that this right here, this represents the very beginning, the corruption of, this is the ultimate beginning of the end of capitalism throughout the world. You're seeing, it is a corruption of capitalism, and it's going to grow. You're going to see this corruption, this error, increase exponentially amongst our youth. It's going to spread. Look, language is like a virus. It spreads and it changes. Paradigms shift only because this virus called language. And it continues and it's accentuated and it grows fast because people like me, and before me, you know, there's people like Timothy Leary and so on, Allen Ginsberg, they fought. They're gone. And for a long, long time, we went an unbearable length of time without anyone radical out there, considered radical, who was willing to risk their life to speak the truth, risk their freedom. That's what I'm doing. I'm filling that niche. I don't like it. I don't want this to be about me. I want this to be about us. It's not about you and me. It's about us. I don't belong here. Get me the hell out of here. These people are fucking weird. And they're getting, look, Americans are they're like child molesting psychopathic Christians, and I just don't like it here. Get me out of here. I don't feel like I can really be productive here. Enough on that. But back to this situation, this undercurrent. I'm seeing it throughout the world. It's an undercurrent of youth, and they're socialist. I don't know where it comes from. Just they know. They know that this is their future. They know a one world government is the future and is a good thing. It's natural and involves, you know, the homo novus, the new man. It involves an opportunity for an optimum future for our youth. America doesn't care about its youth. It cares about its shareholders. God is the money of America. In God we trust. So, we should go into a break now because I realize I can feel the people out there. Their heads are spinning, hearing this stuff. Going, no, Aaron, don't leave me. I'm getting emails, you know, people saying, Aaron, no, don't leave me behind. I agree with you. America sucks.
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and put on some Dead Can Dance. And
okay.
And we'll come back after the break and get some other stuff. Okay, everyone, sit tight. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Thanks for listening. This is Radio Aaron, the voice of Lucifer. Hello. Hey, everyone. Okay, we're back. For those that were wondering, that was Host of the Seraphim by Dead Can Dance. If you're in the chat, there's some links to their website. And coming back, Aaron wanted to talk about the temple.
Oh, yes. I don't want anyone to ever be discouraged. I'm not going to leave you behind. There's some really good Americans here. My friends here, I'm not going to leave you behind. No way. I don't do that to fellow Luciferians. We're a unit. So I don't turn my back on you. And the occult broadcasting network will commence. It will continue. Financially, I'm doing pretty well. So I'm able to do some creative things and open up the studio and still keep the mansion here. So I'm keeping the mansion for the primary 11. And this is a spooking place, man. We were just talking about this before the show while we were trying to fix this harassment. We're being harassed every time we go on the show. I can't believe it.
I know.
But it's no one, you know, and the thing about it is I should have my own TV show here. But they're afraid of me. Americans just died. They don't want me. No. But I'm going to tell you that this place is really, really haunted. What, two nights ago, I was with two of the primary 11, two of the earthly queens of Lucifer. And believe me, they are beautiful. All of them are just they're wonderful in ways I can't even begin to describe. They are teaching me so much about the earth, teaching me so much about myself. And there's a beauty there when they're together. and they understand, you know, they're in love with their guru, you know, as it's been said. Really, I laugh too, you know, because I don't think of myself like that. But I mean, they're seeing their own spirituality through me. I don't know how, but they are. They're on fire. It's a flame, and it's so bright that it's just beautiful. And I am learning so much from them, and I really appreciate the Primary 11. And we're working on more of the earthly queens of Lucifer to enter here. And Sasha, I know you don't want your picture up there. I got it. We'll talk about that in private. She's listening. Sasha, hello. Don't worry. Don't come to America. Just wait. I might be going somewhere else. Okay. Just stay there in Italy. Okay. We do have some very interesting things to say, and before that, I just want to let you all know that, yes, the studio, as planned in September, will open. The temple will open. The Occult Broadcasting Network, my partner in this, is in Paris right now. That's why you're not hearing about it. He's in Paris right now listening to the show. He's somewhere in France. I believe the last show you heard me in Paris. Ariel, Evil Ariel. I just want to say hello to you and France. I know you're listening. Thanks for telling all your friends over there. Don't worry, the temple, you know, will be funded. It's good. Everything's great. We're going to piss off these ugly-ass Americans once and for all. I'm going to be kicked out of this country. I just know it after I open this thing up. Imagine the Occult Broadcasting Network. All you see here are Christian broadcasting channels, you know, with these wacky preachers, sweaty, bad comb-overs. You know they're molesting kids in their time off. They just got this sickness about them, you know, this pallor, this unhealthy pallor, and this sort of this creepy, wheezy, fat, greasy, disgusting look about them. And Jesus is your salvation. You know, you can just see them up, you know. Oh, man. It gives me a cold chill. It's just so slimy.
Yeah.
That's what you see in America everywhere, and I'm just so not that. I mean, the Occult Broadcasting Network, I'm going to be interviewing Wiccans and pagans and people who have alternative views on everything.
Yeah.
And they're going to be open, and they're going to be there openly discussing their alternative views that run contrary to practically everything you see in the United States. I'm exposing the counterculture here, this fringe counterculture here, and there's some magnificent things going on. I'm not talking about this suicide tour. So every once in a while you get these artists that promise to kill themselves at their last show, and everybody shows up. By the way, I went to one of those shows in Berkeley, California, at the Canning Factory, by the way. I believe the singer did die after the show. But anyway... I'm not talking about that counterculture. I'm talking about people who are going to be a little more productive than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to be terribly offensive to these dumbass Americans. They're going to hate me with a passion. You think I'm getting death threats now? Wait till I open up the Occult Broadcasting Network. Anyway, let's get onto the list here.
Okay. I was going to say that network is going to have the impact of when the Church of Satan opened up. That's just going to have that kind of ripple effect throughout America. They're going to be like, what the hell?
Only this time there'll be no talk shows, you know, bringing it up. Because all those talk shows, there's been a shift. We have this religiosity, this problem in America. There's been this Christian fanaticism that's taken over media and government. And you'll never see, a Satanist on a Jerry Springer show ever again talk about, you know, some bogus Satanist talk about Satanism.
Right.
You're never going to see that again. By the way, someone like me would never end up on Oprah talking about this. Because I would deeply offend Oprah by asking her, you know, why she supported the meat industry, why she caved into it. You know, is it because of money? Yes. Yeah.
She has to retain her stature.
Yeah, by the way, I'm a vegetarian, and I live a vegan lifestyle, except for a few situations where I have to take care of my brain.
Right.
Now, I have to feed my brain certain supplements, and they're not vegan. They can't be. There are vegan sources, as I understand, but not very efficient. It's an efficient source. All right.
All right.
Back to Bush.
Oh, by the way, Barbara Bush. People are wondering what I meant by colostomy sex with Barbara Bush. Years ago, I was going to put out this this porn video. I had a group of people, and we're going to do stunt cocking and things like that. And what we're going to do is have someone that we knew, this girl looked just like, you know, Barbara Bush, the mother, you know, of George W. Bush. And what we're going to do is we're going to fix her up with a colostomy. And this is a poop bag that sits on the side of your stomach. A double barrel colostomy is where they remove a section of your bowel because it's diseased. A lot of old people get this. They can't shit out of their asshole anymore. They got to shit into a bag that hangs off their guts called a colostomy. And so a lot of people asking me, what was that? Because on my weblog you'll see that thing concerning. I actually mixed up Laura Bush with Barbara Bush on my last show. And I want to thank my listeners for correcting me, because, look, it's not an ego problem here for me. I don't want to sound like an idiot. So when I make mistakes like that, I need to be corrected. So I'm correcting that here. But what's funny about this is there is a history, and I should not have confused those two, because you had this horrible anvil-faced Barbara. I was going to make this porn video of Barbara Bush while she was, you know, still in the public eye, having colostomy sex. Post-mortem. And what could be more offensive than that, you know? See, with a dead body, you got to stick the light bulb in there to warm it up first. And with a colostomy, you don't need lubrication, you know? It's already wet. So it's perfect.
Yeah.
Anyway, now that we've grossed everybody out, I was actually going to make a movie like that during a time when, you know, the President Bush was in the White House, the first one.
Oh, man.
And I decided not to do it. It was just a little too I was quite radical in those days. I've calmed down considerably since then. I've come to my senses. It would be too offensive to these sheep fucking, you know, trailer trash, tornado bait, you know, wargasmic Americans. There's no way they would like that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, we covered number one on your list. Number two.
Yes, the four great religions. By the way.
Oh, that's number three. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we already discussed the socialist government,
yes.
and you know, this is real hope for us, and the miracle. I wanted to get into that. We're going to talk more about that next week. But there's a miracle coming for you, and the miracle concerns the divinity within each and every one of us. You know, we've been looking. I've been laughing at these SETI people for years. They build millions of dollars. You know, they build these giant radio. Scope. So what they're doing, they're giant dishes to accept radio waves. They're looking for radio, like an advanced extraterrestrial civilization is going to be using these frequencies. You know, I don't know what they'd be using them for. I mean, we don't use them anymore. So I don't know what SETI's looking for, but they haven't found it. No matter how big they make these things, you know, just these dishes, they can make them 5 miles wide. And they could have them going for the next 1,000 years, they'll find nothing. Because simply, they're looking in the wrong direction. You don't look out to find the alien. Guess what? You look within. The divinity exists within each and every one of us. There alone, will you find the answer. It's within your DNA. I'm not going to say too much about that. I do want to say that there is a variant out there for all intents and purposes. The best way to describe it is to say this is the son of Lucifer, the human son of Lucifer. It's as close as you can get to this alien without looking like an alien. The name is Belial. He is critical to setting up a one-world government. He's in a key position to do this. And there's nothing anyone can do to stop this being. I know who he is. I know where he is. And I know how he's going to do it. Anyway, that's the variation out there. The rest of us have this divinity within. If you want to find the alien, if you want to get closer to contact, you need to go within and find that within you, the divinity, the thing put in you by the alien, the human progenitor. It's in your DNA. Go there, and you will begin a spiritual life, a spiritual path that will open your spiritual eye up, and you too will begin to see the alien. I've been next to people and watched a spacecraft come down, and the person next to me hasn't seen it. Now that person next to me sees because her spiritual eye is open. It takes time for everyone. Everyone has cellular memories, cellular fears. Through initiation, you face each one and you learn something about yourself. Everyone has their own time to blossom. When they do, it's so beautiful because that divinity within is expressed. And we all share that in unity. We all share that. We share that truth. And it's something we can't describe, something that we know through experience. Now, so that's the miracle that I'm talking about. Now, how does that lead to a one-world socialist government? How does that lead? What's going on there? Because there's a design. There's a grand scheme, an optimal future that you can become connected with. There's a beauty there that you will identify, and you'll head right for it. And that's the miracle. That's why I see amongst youth, and I'm hearing it, they're socialists. They're really interested in this, and you're seeing the very end of capitalism. America has seen its greatest pyramid. It's failing. It's fading away. It's over. And when you consider what's going on, the paradigms as they are shifting, the four great religions will fall before this impending spiritual truth. As Stephen Hawking has said, we'll all know this at the same time. We'll all realize it's so simple. No one will escape this simple truth. It's within each and every one of us. The divinity lies within. And, of course, we have number four, the fate of Mabus, to be known. And I'm giving you a specific date. Now, mark this down. This is where people try to do me in. I'm telling you this as a prophet, not as Prophet Yahweh. I'm not talking about myself as being more important than you. I'm talking about the prophetic area of the human brain. That area is not psychic functioning. That area is the area of the brain that allows me to see a future, and you can do that too. I'm getting really good at this. As I'm exercising that muscle more, you know, I'm getting better at it. Anyone can do this, but there may not be time now to really catch up to where I am. I hope there is. That'd be nice. The fate of Mabus to be known August 8th in 2005. That's this year. You're going to know the fate of Mabus on that day. I will say no more. You know the prediction by Nostradamus. The horrible undoing of people and animals. Something crosses species. Something kills us off. It's a human killing tide. We're running out of resources. Too many people. We have social problems the world over because of this. That's part of the killing tide as well. You don't have to be a psychic. You don't have to be a prophet to see that. It's right on your doorstep. Every social institution known to mankind is now failing because of our wanton disregard for our environment, for each other. We don't love each other unconditionally. The human killing tide is upon us now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm going to let you know that I saw a news report about Java, that there was a report of swines being infected in Java. And the main concern was because, you know, it was kind of, you know, it's an island. How did they get infected?
Are you referring to which virus?
Oh, the H5N1 virus. I'm sorry.
Yes, H5N1. All right, this is a very bad sign, folks. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing as a prophet the fate of Mabus to be known August 8th in 2005. And I'm going to tell you, Mabus is Saddam Hussein. If he is murdered, you know, if he is shot or hung, you're going to see a horrible undoing of people and animals. I didn't know that about the this thing crossing species in the swine. It Falcon H5N1. That's pretty bad. You know, our virus clouds begin in Asia, usually from swine. And this thing occurs, this thing has an optimal environment for transmission, you know, from one person to the next and so on, from in the wintertime. So this is timing. You know, it's everything's timing. Here it is. Now, it doesn't surprise me to hear what you just told me about the swine.
Yeah, well, they were pointing out that fact only because that we use pigs to do virus research or antidotes because of the closeness to humans.
Well, therein lies my prediction that there was some science behind this. I have to remember, if you're close enough to the virus cloud where its source, Asia, there's a less chance for mutation to kill a larger number of people. Now, provided that these mutations are successful, right? 6% of the organism will become successful, whatever, through mutation. And if they enter this successful stage, and if they cross species and humans can begin to infect each other, then you're going to see more variations on the theme genetically. This thing will adapt to its environment quickly. You know, they replicate quickly. And these organisms are smart. They're smarter than we are. They know how to survive. We have bacteria in our atmosphere that live in, that thrive in ionizing radiation. So we have bacteria everywhere. They're also a communication system. They communicate with each other, like the plants communicate. The whole universe is a communication system. We are part of that. The thing about this is that this is the horrible undoing of people, animals, and there are other diseases involved. You know, we have some 1,200 new forms of bacteria. That can infect human beings, and we don't have any antibiotic except something exotic from an amphibian from South America, which, by the way, its habitat is gone. And I believe these amphibians are being studied in a laboratory, and there's a there's an analog of this chemical. It's used as an antibiotic. So there's some promise there to treat some of these new superbugs. However, time is running out, and these superbugs will become superbugs before long. It's like penicillinase producing Neisseria gonorrhea. And that's a great example of what happens when we use antibiotics. This stuff, you know, it was once an antibiotic. Penicillin was used to treat this form of gonorrhea. And now this form of gonorrhea eats this penicillin. It lives on it. So this is what we're facing here. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Your environment is screwed up, permanently screwed up, and it's going to eat you alive. Our planet is dying. It's not going to be comfortable the way we go. We need to buy time. We need to do it now. Vice President Al Gore is right. We are in a desperate situation, and Jesus is not going to help us. We have to help ourselves. We are all the Messiah. The divinity lies within. We've got to save ourselves and stop waiting for something to save us. We've got to do something now, collectively. And that starts with the World Socialist Movement. I see a revolution. You can't be healthy as a nation without a revolution. You've got to evolve. You've got to change and adapt like these organisms, or you die. America has not changed. It hasn't had a revolution in the mind or physical revolution of any kind of political revolution, has any kind of revolution in years. Because of it, it's dying. If I even talk about a revolution here, I could be put in jail. That's how bad it is here now. But in Europe, I see a wonderful, soft revolution of youth. They're socialists. I want to thank you for being a socialist, because I know that you're reaching into that divinity within. It's teaching you something about how we are all interdependent with one another. We are together. We are a unit. And that is a wonderful feeling. That gives me hope on a planet that's dying, because together we can work on this problem of contact. There's a new form of socialism on the rise. It's in our youth. And it comes from within. Okay, back to those human killing ties. So it's not just H5N1. There's a number of things that are going to clobber us all at the same time. You know, we're fighting over dwindling natural resources. You've got great nations with terrible weapons of mass destruction. Nuclear weapons are being developed. We have new delivery systems for these weapon systems. The neutron bomb is being explored again. You need to know that. You need to stand up and you need to... Someone needs to leak this. I can't just talk about it. Someone needs to help me out here. All right? We got, you know, an interest in the neutron bomb right now that we shouldn't have in America and in other countries. We don't need that weapon to be further developed. I remember President Nixon, you know, he was really into the neutron bomb. President Nixon was addicted to methamphetamine. He was a meth head. He was a freak. He was a pill popper. He couldn't get up in the morning without him. And he ended up experiencing paranoid delusions towards the end of his presidency because he was suffering from drug-induced paranoia. Drug-induced psychosis. It's very common. Hitler suffered the same fate. Only Hitler had a problem with a sexually transmittable disease. And that was coupled with the fact that he had a stroke because he was doing both opiates and speed. Speed was the secret drug to motivate the Third Reich. It was a secret weapon to motivate the SS. They were all on speed. And it motivated these troops. They became very efficient as a result of it. But however, they did a number on their brains. And Hitler, of course, had a stroke because of it. And he also developed Parkinson's disease, and he also had syphilis. Hitler was dying of syphilis. So added all these things together, he's a crack. He lost his marbles.
Yeah.
And so Nixon, you know, same thing. The guy was a meth head. He lost his marbles. President Kennedy was a meth head. By the way, Kennedy was getting shots twice a day of methamphetamine to keep himself going. I bet most people don't know that about American presidents. Here we had Ronald Reagan, who didn't even have a brain. The guy was in advanced stages of Alzheimer's disease. And we're going to talk about Alzheimer's disease and the relationship it has with xenoestrogen from plastic, producing plastic in this country. I'm going to scare you with something. And it's not just in this country, it's the world over. You look at your plastic dashboard in your bus or car or anywhere. Look at that plastic all around you. You're holding a pen. Look at that. It's plastic. You know what that's doing to you? See the news of all the breast cancer issues and all the secondary sex characteristic cancers that we're seeing today? We didn't see 50 years ago. It's on the rise. Why? Why do we have an epidemic of breast cancer? Xenoestrogen. And let's go back to the humorous situation with a good Christian. I want my European friends to know the ultimate Christian in America was John Wayne Gacy. He was a clown for Christ. He professed Jesus Christ as his personal savior to all little boys in his neighborhood and throughout the state, wherever he went. And he was regarded as such a good Christian in his community. He was invited to the White House by the Reagan administration, and he actually received a reward. I don't know what reward that was. I could be wrong about the reward, but I do believe that when you're invited to the White House, there's some ceremony involving something, some token. So, whatever that was, I don't know. But he did shake hands with President Ronald Reagan. That's right. John Wayne Gacy, the clown for Christ, who sexually molested and killed 33. He loved little boys. Loved them. He loved to molest them and torture them to death. And he buried them in his base, in his crawl space underneath his house. This is a typical Christian. You know, you go too far with Christianity, it's a form of mental illness. This is what happens to you. If you don't treat Christianity early, this could happen to you. You could crack. John Wayne Gacy was whack. This guy was a psycho. Psycho for Christ. So as an atonement for the death of Christ, one was tortured, sexually molested, and buried for each year and Christ-like. 33. Now, this guy made it all the White House. Now, of course, Ronald Reagan, who had no brain, he was in advanced stages of Alzheimer's disease. It goes to show you don't really have to have a brain to run the White House. Someone else is doing it. So, like today with George Bush, you understand. You see the connection?
Yes.
He reminds me of the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz, you know, where Cheney is, of course, the Tin Man with no heart. He looks like the Tin Man, too. It's crazy. And Toto would be Tony Blair. That's George's poodle. Toto is Tony Blair, okay? And then George's poodle. And then you have, let's see, who's Dorothy? You know who Dorothy is. And, of course, you have Condoleezza Rice would be Dorothy. Mm-hmm. Totally lost out there trying to fill, you know, whatever, looking for the wizard. Traveling the world, not really getting it. Being guided here and there.
Would the wizard be Karl Rove?
The wizard would be Rove, yes. That's excellent. That's the wizard behind the curtain. That's the guy. Yeah, right. He looks like the wizard, too. It's funny. The thing about it is, you know who the lion is, the guy with no courage? It was Powell.
Powell.
Yeah. He looks like the lion. I'm telling you, it's straight out of The Wizard of Oz. And George Bush looks like the Scarecrow, the guy with no brain. He looks like him. It's crazy. So anyway.
So if you watch her press conferences, should you put on Dark Side of the Moon and see what syncs up?
Oh, I'm kidding. Anyway, we got to get back to this because we're going to drive people crazy if we don't get the list.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. The serious issue. Oh, pardon me?
Xenoestrogen.
Yeah, well, before that, the serious issue is right now. I'm finally, the primary 11 are with me, and they're healing me, and they're helping me, and it's an amazing, magical experience for me. I am filled with love and joy. I wake up every day enthused because of them. Of course, I love women, as it is, you know, all over the world. I just love women. Women are the best because they remind me of the earth, and I have an appreciation for beauty. The thing about this is that these women have been chosen amongst 6 billion people. They are very unique. They have very unique gifts. And right now, the first two are with me. Jennifer, you're the third. Jennifer, you're the first before all the others. But the two that are with me now are really teaching me magic in a way that I'm an expert magic. I'm an expert magician. I'm one of the last Mohicans out there. I'm a practicing magician. I live that life of magic, but okay, sex magic. And I've seen its power. I know how it works. I know what it means. I don't make a big deal out of it. Most people don't know that about me because I don't make a big deal out of it. I'm making a big deal out of it now because right now I'm seeing real power. It's in her. I see the Luciferian order, the core of it, developing right before my eyes, and whoa, it is power. Power that men, you, don't have a choice but to respect and love. These women are going to teach you something about yourself, and you can't take your eyes off of them. You can't take your eyes off of its beauty. They're going to remind you of the great nurturing, the great motherhood, the great mother. You see, in our mythology, the mother, is the earth. We were born of a primordial soup. You know, we were bacteria. Blood types confirm that we were once bacteria, prokaryotic cells. Now we're macrobiotic, you know, automatonic, whatever. I know some of us are a little bit something beyond an automaton, but I would say that we are quite complex, successful, but not really. We think we are. But I would say that we're, in our mythology, of course, that the mother, Earth, is our mother, and the father, the thing that genetically manipulated us to divide us from the garden. You see, if you go into our oceans, we have creatures there that are far, far more intelligent than we are, and far older than we are. And they have cultures. They have communication systems which are vast. We haven't begun to touch yet. We don't understand how dolphins communicate fully yet. They're so smart. They have a larger forebrain than we have. They're older than we are. They're more advanced. Look at Dr. Lilly's work and you'll understand what's going on with the dolphin. We, arrogantly, our arrogance is amazing. We assume that, you know, these things are for food, for the dinner table, you know, or for just tossing away in the ocean or ignoring. They know what we're doing to them. We don't know what we're doing to them. What does that tell you about the dolphins? They talk to each other in strange ways. They communicate, and they know what we're doing to the oceans. Yet we don't know what they know. If you look at these creatures, and what's different? What's different between a dolphin and man? What happened to us? Lucifer did not genetically manipulate the dolphin. It manipulated us. This was the fall from the Garden of Eden. You see, we build monuments. We are no longer bound by the rules of nature. The dolphin is bound by the rules of nature. It cannot destroy its environment without destroying itself. We can destroy the environment, and we can be the last thing standing, the last ant mound going before we fall. You know, the Epic of Gilgamesh from Ur. When you kill the god of nature, then you're dead. But we're supposed to realize that and be the caretakers. We're supposed to be reminded of where we come from. We're supposed to reach the nexus of 10 billion brains firing simultaneously in full accord with our environment, with the universe, and all the other universes. That was our nexus. Our brains were to reach 10 billion in number, all firing with 10 billion neurons simultaneously in full awareness of the divinity within. We were to express that in perfect harmony with our environment. We would have been one with the earth and with the universe and with each other. That was our nexus. We're not going to make that this time. We're going to make it next time. Right? With the information loop, we're going to continue it. That's for other shows. But that's our great hope. That's something we have to work for. You don't take it for granted. Anyway. Right now, we have a decision to make, collectively. I think this is more important than anything. This is what the primary 11 are teaching me. Right now, we need to love each other unconditionally or face extinction, early extinction. And I look at the world right now, and I see hatred everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's growing, isn't it, Jennifer?
Yes, it is.
You see that, Steve? It's everywhere. And I'm world traveled, and I can tell you that I feel it and I know it. All my contacts are telling me they're feeling it too. It's alarming. As Christianity faces off with the other religions, as dwindling resources are becoming more and more apparent, more and more people are going without of the basic needs, Maslow's basic needs. They're going without these basic needs. They're getting angry, and they're looking for scapegoats in there. The hatred is growing. The gnashing of teeth. It's everywhere. Right now, that's not going to help us. It doesn't matter what your environment is. The only thing that can help you is unconditional love. It's the only thing that can help the world. Conditional love is evil. Love backwards is evil. Unconditional love is truth. And it's harsh. It has nothing to do with pity or mercy. Nothing whatsoever. Pity and mercy, those are forms of conditional love. And those are forms of weakness, of evil. Compassion. This is where I have a problem with the Buddha and the Buddhists. Where's the Dalai Lama? Where is he? He's weak. His compassion has made him weak. Because it is a flaw. It is a failure. And he will be rubbed out. His people will be destroyed. They'll be hunted down in weakness. Because they do not fully understand the spiritual nature of unconditional love. They have perverted it. Buddha made a mistake here. It's okay. You know, this is a long time ago. Buddha wasn't perfect. But there are some great things about the Buddha. I've studied Buddhism. I know what I'm talking about. That is its only flaw. It's all it took. Just one one small, incredibly insignificant error can compound itself in such a way to destroy an entire culture of people, can make them weak and vulnerable. And that's exactly what happened. Love, unconditional love, is not compassion. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with feeling sorry for someone or having pity or mercy for someone. Nothing whatsoever to do with that. Unconditional love is harsh. I'm experiencing unconditional love here. And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's wonderful. It's a great teacher. It's been said, and speaking of the Tibetan monks, it's been said that your greatest teacher is the one that can break your heart the most. And I agree. Enough on that. We know what this means. Mankind, the message from the primary leaven and the message from Lucifer is this. Right now, your only chance is to unconditionally love each other or face early extinction. And that's the end of the message. That's it. That's all I know now. And, of course, number 7, here we go. Xenoestrogen. Here's something to scare the hell out of you. All right? You can go to my father's website. You can go to my website and click on the mind of JamesDonahue.com, and you'll read more about this. He's great lengths there, and he's got some great stuff. His website is just booming. His numbers are growing. And I want to thank you all for visiting his website, and we'll soon have our first three books out. You're going to love it. Concerning xenoestrogen, I'll just briefly cover this. I won't get too technical about this because it can... The best way to describe xenoestrogen, first of all, what is it? What the hell am I talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Xenoestrogens, these are estrogens. You have a hormonal balance. You have hormonal stasis in your body. Biological systems, even plants. Plants are sexed. There's an amazing relationship between this balance within plants. Estrogens are found everywhere. And they play key biologic functions in the body. They're balancers. Your endocrine system is a mysterious thing. Very little is known about it. You know, we know a great deal of the endocrine system, but we need to know a lot more about it. And it's recently been discovered the role of estrogens, some of the roles. And they have a profound effect on your health. Harmful effects of excessive amounts of xenoestrogen can cause illnesses such as breast cancer, endometriosis, heart disease, osteoporosis, and here's the one, Alzheimer's disease. Right now, that's an epidemic. We didn't have this before. We had dementia and old person's disease. We had sundown syndrome. You know, we had things that were precursors, or maybe these were Alzheimer's patients, and we just didn't have it properly diagnosed. We didn't have the technology to look at this, but today we do. But the numbers are growing. That's the difference. We have an amazing number of people who are getting younger and younger with Alzheimer's disease. You know, we have factors like aluminum. Don't use aluminum underarm deodorant. Don't cook in aluminum pans. Stay away from aluminum. That's a no-no. Because it is a major factor in the development of Alzheimer's disease. But a bigger factor, and the biggest factor of all, is your environment. The reason why your brain is turning into Swiss cheese at an earlier and earlier age, and more people are getting this, is because of xenoestrogen. This is the result of the plastics industry. Now, better living through chemistry, right? You've seen all this promotion of how plastics save lives. You know, you got these altruistic people going out there, firemen, you know, and you got this plastic cannula with oxygen being delivered to the baby. It's been spared a fiery death in this cataclysmic ball of fire there in the background, you know, and you got this ashen dust-covered fireman. He's holding this baby, and there's this plastic cannula covering its face, saving its life. And then you see in the caption below this, better living for chemistry. Plastics save lives. Really? Let me tell you, for all the babies saved due to that plastic cannula, millions, and I'm going to tell you billions of people are dying needlessly because of the plastics industry. I'm just touching the surface of commonly known diseases. Let's talk about the epidemic of prostate cancer in men. This wasn't so 50 years ago, and yet we could detect this. This is known. We knew about this cancer a long time ago. What's going on? Why is there more and more men getting prostate cancer? It's because we have better tools for diagnosis? Yes and no. The no is, but the numbers are growing. The numbers of people getting prostate cancer are growing rapidly, much more so. You can't even factor in human population anymore. There's got to be an environmental factor, and the environmental factor key to breast cancer, other forms of strange cancers that involve secondary sex characteristics, prostate cancer, cancer of the testes, any kind of cancer that deals with a constant bombardment of hormonal imbalance within the body is attributed directly to plastics. We have polluted our planet to death. And guess what? You're breathing it. It's in the air. That's right. Look around you. Everything around you is made of plastic. And you know, look at those people in the 50s, meffed out, drunk 50s, you know. The halcyon days of big hairdos, you know. They made your women look like rocket ships, you know, with a curl at the end, like there's some kind of cloud gaseous explosion at the base, and there's this penis hair thing. Looks like a, like when she's ready to go off into space and explore the moon any minute. Yep. You know, Jetsons. You remember it? The big hair of the 50s? Yeah, those people?
Yeah, the B-52s back, I think, when the B-52s were really popular.
Oh, yeah. And they're driving down the road in this 50s automobile. It looks like a rocket ship that gets like 2 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I'm telling you, those people, white picket fences, yeah. Drunk, messed out weirdos.
Inbreeding.
Oh, yeah, inbreeding, rampant. Those people, that culture, whoa, what was going on there? Well, those people really, really gave us better living through chemistry. They were big-time chemists. It was going on everywhere. And remember, America won, you know, they're part of that World War II thing, and the industrial complex here was geared up, and you know, it's all based on petroleum, on oil. We have been storing, we've been fractionalizing chemical, we've been fractionally distilling oil. And we have all these products, you know, you go to the top of, this fraction, you have what? Not petroleum ether, you have ether, right? Some of the heavier stuff down, you know, where you eventually get to some of the mixtures for flying airplanes, diesel fuel and things like that. But the higher you go, the more volatile this stuff is. And we have all of these chemicals that we're storing since the late 1800s. And giant vats. We have storehouses, we have tanks of chemicals that we have been producing due to our worldwide industrialization since the early 1900s. Can you imagine the potential of producing all these plastics? Dow Chemical went nuts with it in the 50s. Still going nuts with it. There's an endless supply of chemicals for these people to make plastics. New kinds of plastics would be discovered. All of them give you that wonderful xenoestrogen in the air, in the water, in the land, in the food you're eating, in the fish. You're seeing in fish populations all over the world strange, strange conditions such as, well, they're both male and female. Sometimes, well, you're seeing it in a lot of male children throughout the world, genital deformations. This is a direct result of xenoestrogen. And this is a crisis we're in, and no one is addressing this. You have cancers on this planet you didn't have 50 years ago because of xenoestrogen, because of the plastics industry. No, it is not better living through chemistry. It is ecological death. It is killing us. Plastics are killing you. Resist them at all costs. I prefer glass no matter what. And if I have a product on the shelf that I need, and it's in a glass container, I'm happy with that because I can reuse that glass. If it's in a plastic container, I shun it. Sometimes you have to buy it because there's nothing else. But it sucks. And you need to tell your friends you need to resist the plastics industry. It's another part of this multinational corporate greed complex of rape the earth for profit, rape the earth for your shareholders. You know, and let's make the people think that you're doing good things for the planet. You know, like Bill Gates, he gives all this money to the We Feed, They Breed program, you know. He's an evil monster like all the rest of these big corporation people are. Don't be fooled by that garbage. You know, I just love it. I just love it when you see major oil companies talk about how they're really doing good things for the environment. You see pictures of birds flying and blue skies, which, are, by the way, are photoshopped. They're not even real. Where have you seen a blue sky like that ever, right?
Yeah.
The whole world is now dusty and misty. You can't see blue sky anywhere. And I've traveled the world. I'm telling you, the skies look different than they did even 10 years ago. Is anyone else noticing that?
Yep.
You look across your horizon. It's polluted.
Yeah.
And you're breathing in xenoestrogens,
right,
and it's giving you cancer, and you will get cancer eventually. It's like Russian roulette. You got, you know, just spin that barrel, pull the trigger, take a deep breath, eat your food, pretend like it doesn't exist. Go out there and buy your plastic. Support the plastics industry. It saves lives. See that little baby there with the altruist? By the way, altruism is evil. You don't sacrifice yourself. You don't do that. You have an indefeasible right to survive. That's the right way of thinking.
Question on the aluminum. Is aluminum foil bad then?
Yes.
Yeah,
you don't want to. Aluminum foil, believe it or not, can react with acids. And a lot of foods, when you cook them, will be acidic. And you'll have contact. So you have an acid, you have heat. You know, it's, you know, you see these exothermic reactions, something heats up from, you know, a chemical reaction within a product or something. But, you know, the situation here is that you have an environment where you're typically wrapping food, like a potato. If there's any, if you have an acid environment, and a potato's a base, supposed to be anyway, if you're adding something to it that's acid, and a lot of people do that, then you get a reaction as you add heat to it, and you're going to get a little bit of that aluminum into your body. I don't think enough aluminum due to aluminum foil makes a difference with one potato. But if you're eating, if you're wrapping your food in aluminum foil for years and years and years, and you're getting a little bit of this aluminum for years and years and years into your body, it adds up. You're going to get Alzheimer's disease.
A lot of pans are made out of aluminum.
Yeah, avoid never, ever cook on aluminum. Ever, ever. That is so wrong for your body.
Well, the thing that popped into my head when you were talking about the plastics being cancerous is most of the medical...
ignores this.
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere in a hospital.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get
epidemic. It's a huge problem. It's growing. Breast cancer is directly attributed to xenoestrogen. Look, these estrogens are like estrogen in your body. The problem is they don't break down. They mimic the same... In other words, they can hook up in your body, but they don't break down like the others. And it fucks up your metabolism. It creates a hormonal imbalance. And we're being bombarded every day with more and more and more xenoestrogen because we're producing more and more things out of plastic because we're running out of resources, and we have built this huge industrial complex, which is conducive to plastic production to replace the things that we don't have in our environment, like trees. We're not making wood as much anymore. We're making plastic to replace the wood.
Yeah.
We're making the plastic look like wood.
Exactly.
It's insane.
Yeah, well, the cars, you know, the car industry now, bumpers are now all plastic. It's really hard to find, you know, really, you can't find steel very much on cars other than the frame and most of the skeleton. But the bumpers are now all plastic, high-impact plastic with... foam insulation in between.
Your clothes are made out of plastic. Everything is made out of plastic. Your curtains, your clothing, your doorknobs, your doors now. Everything is made out of plastic.
Yeah.
And so what Americans have done is they can get cheaper products. You know, they can go to the 99-cent store and buy something that's of cheaper quality, and they pay cheaper prices for it. And that's been a craze now for a long time. Americans need to demand quality and stop buying cheap plastic crap that breaks the first time you use it. Stop doing that. If you have a choice between something that's made out of glass and metal, buy it, even though it's more expensive. Go ahead and buy that thing. You know, if you have a choice between a plastic jar that's, you know, a couple dollars cheaper and a glass one, buy the glass one.
For those of you who are technologically involved with this, you know what I'm talking about. There's a difference between EE2 and E2, okay? One breaks down normally, the other doesn't. And the effects of this have been clearly shown to cause fibrosis, testicular limitation in development in large liver cells, edema between kidney tubules, and so on. And we're talking abnormal, grossly abnormal reproductive organ development in males. And the more xenoestrogen that you're exposing both males and female to, the more chances you're going to have problems further down the road if you survive in the first assault, the initial assault. You're going to, you know, the epidemic of breast cancer amongst women is directly attributed to plastics. Women, you're dying of breast cancer, you don't need to. Where were you? And I don't want to really, to really, I want to make you women feel bad, but I'm with the Primary 11 now, and I'm adding more to this group, and I just have a question. Why are you not fighting for the earth? Why are you supporting men who support war? Why are you not cutting, you know, I don't want to say this. But I mean, the thing is, why are you not standing up for the earth? Why don't you know that your planet's dying? Why don't you know the reason why you're getting breast cancer? Why are you supporting the system out there that gave you breast cancer to begin with? Why do you not question why you're getting breast cancer? Where are you? Why are you not thinking about this? If you women were fighting for your environment, and naturally and instinctively you should have been doing this for generations, think of your children. You have this drive to have the right environment for your children. Do you? What were you thinking? What happened to you? Where were you? Where were you, woman, while your planet was being destroyed by these morons? The arrogant, the egotistical animal, man. Where were you? Were you teaching him? Were you exposing this to him? Were you persuading him not to destroy the environment? What were you doing? Where were you? There are a lot of women now that are younger that understand what I'm saying, and they know that I'm not yelling at you, I'm not blaming you for anything. That a lot of young women are waking up. But they're looking at their mothers with disdain. They're looking at their mothers and their grandmothers with contempt. And you need to. Young woman, young child, you look at your mother. And you have a right to be disgusted. Because she betrayed you. She betrayed you and your future. She has sold you out. She did nothing but destroy your environment by doing nothing. How many times do we find women who know that their daughters are being raped by that Christian father in the home and pretended like nothing is happening at all because the man's in control of everything? You're half the problem, woman. These young girls know it, and I can see it in their eyes. And the reason why they have contempt for you is because you sold them out. They know they'll never have the environment for childbirth or a future as you had it. The earth was still alive in the 60s. We could have saved it. When we were born, there's nothing we could do. It was too late. More of this will be realized amongst our youth as time goes on. And the more you're going to see angry youth rise up. And they're going to start to ask questions amongst the elite. Now, I'm often criticized for my lack of respect for the old fucks. When you know the backstory, I gave the old fucks their chance. Ask yourself right now, can you count how many old fucks on one hand that are here with us right now supporting this? They got the money, they got the power, they got the political position. They run the world right now. The old fucks. They don't care about the future. They don't care about the ecosystem because they're going to be dead in 10 years of old age anyway. They're contemptuous, horrible, disgusting people who had an opportunity to save us in the 60s and they ignored the problem. You know, in 1957 to 1959, there were scientists who were screaming about the ozone layer, saying if we don't do something now, you're going to see cancer rates in the future, you're going to see problems with the ecosystem. There were scientists who were studying human population and its effect on the environment in the 40s and 30s. Now, I'm not talking about Malthusian people. Malthus was brilliant. He was definitely seeing the future. But, I mean, we've gone a long way since Malthus. And there are some very smart people throughout history who have been warning us about overpopulation of humans, breaching the human carrying capacity of the Earth, and what this can do to our ecosystem permanently. Here we are. We've breached it. 1985, we breached the human carrying capacity of the Earth. It is confirmed. We're dead. We're dying. We can't fix it. Now, I realize that there's some really good older people out there, like Gore Vidal and the rest of them, Al Gore, and they are on our side. But my issue with the old people is that, look, the Al Gores and the Gore Vidal and the rest of these people, they're the exception. They're not the rule. And I need the majority of old people to fess up to their crime and just do something. My parents are doing something. They are headlong right straight into this. They're going to work till their dying day to do something to help their children have an awesome future, and all children. That's why I want them coming with me to Europe. I'm not leaving my parents behind because their heart and soul, their body, they're in this. And by the way, on our last show, we talked about the loss of soul and a lot of these old fucks rape their children. You can do something worse than just rape your child. You can take their soul. For those of you, and you know, I have friends who have been raped by their family members. I want to straighten this out. You haven't lost your soul. Right? You can lose your soul. And a lot of these children who were raped have lost their soul. But the thing is, a lot of these children have coped and they've retained some aspect of the soul. And over time, they have healed. And they're again, expressing the soul fully, as they should be. But it can take years to heal, take years to express the soul again. But if the soul is completely lost, if you lost all contact with the soul, I've never seen it ever, once, regained. So for the you children that have lost your soul completely because you were so terribly abused by your parents, by some old fuck, some Catholic priest, some old fuck Catholic priest, by the way. That happens a lot in America. Happens a lot. Christianity is an evil. Evil thing. Christians define evil. If you remember during the 70s and the hysteria during the 60s and 70s, they were pointing a finger at us, the Satanists and the Luciferians, the people like us. They were pointing us saying somehow we were sacrificing children for Satan. We don't even believe in Satan. Satanism is a concept. And most of us are vegans. Most of us are vegetarians. And we love children. We love the earth. You know, it's crazy for them to be saying that, these lies. But now we know the truth. The truth is out now. It's the Christian who's raping the child, who's sacrificing their own children. They're doing it for Jesus. So for you children who have lost your soul, I don't know how you can get it back. I don't know. You know, I haven't seen any. I've never seen a successful. I've seen a lot of people attempt to re-energize this, to express it again, but I've never seen it become successful. But anyway.
Do you feel that there's a number of Christians are starting to wake up somewhat? Not in the U.S., but in other parts of the world. Do you think that they're seeing this as a sham?
I have three Catholic priests who have left the church and are begging to join me. So, yes.
Oh, cool.
But if you're a Christian, and I get one single aspect, look, some Christians haven't lost their soul. Most Christians have. You have to give up your soul to be a Christian. you're giving your soul to an angel that's calling itself Christ. You're opening up your anahata and you're asking this angel to take over. You're asking for possession. You're giving up your soul to something you can't see, taste, feel, or know anything about. Willingly. You're opening up your center, your heart chakra, and you're giving up your soul. That's what it takes to become a Christian. You have to willingly give up your soul. When you ask Jesus into your heart, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you're losing your soul. And it's permanent.
But there are those that have that doubt.
Those that have had that doubt, who kept a little bit of the light of the soul and just kept that doubt there, they're salvageable. And those two Catholic priests, mm-hmm. they still have the light of the soul. They've given up on the lies. They know.
If they can do it for angels, can you do it for demons as well?
That's a whole different thing. And by the way, I want to talk about during the show, and in preparation for the show, I have, and we're going to cut the xenoestrogen story short because it gets worse. I've only given you the tip of the iceberg on this stuff.
Yes. I mean,
it's just really bad stuff. I mean, just heart disease and everything. It's linked to more diseases, the more diseases that we commonly see throughout the world than you can imagine. It's all directly linked to xenoestrogen. The plastics industry is killing you in large numbers and quickly. So think about that the next time you're looking at a plastic thing.
Yeah, everywhere.
That's killing
you.
All
over the house, everywhere you look, anywhere you look.
It's because we're running out of resources. And, you know, we've been stockpiling these chemicals, we distill these, you know, oil, crude oil.
Right.
We distill this into different chemicals, and we make things out of it, like plastics.
Yes.
Now, if you were to go to a more organic source, such as hemp, you won't have quite the same impact on the environment as you would with something that had taken, you know, millions of years to break down.
Right.
Under pressure and time and so on. You're looking at ancient forests. You're burning it in your furnaces, in your cars. You're burning up ancient forests. You know, that's what that oil is.
Yeah.
It's organic matter from the time when the earth was covered in this this genetic diversity, this plant diversity.
Yeah. Oh, question. When people give up their souls to angels, and when they invite demons, and demons don't take their soul like angels do.
Demons are not interested in the soul.
Okay.
However, one of you listeners out there, you're going to be possessed. And the way I'll know this is you're going to contact me either during the show night. I've got a really strange email right now I'm looking at that is pretty close to the truth. So we may already have a body right now that is consumed by the demon. And I, in preparation for the show, I have called forth a demon to enter the body of one of you listeners. An undisclosed listener is now fully possessed. And you've lost your soul. You don't have a soul.
So they didn't have a soul before the demon possessed.
That is correct.
Ah.
So someone out there, a soulless and didn't know it, you've been consumed, you've been taken. And you are now going to contact me. As I have charged the demon within you to do so, and you're going to tell me your name, and you're going to talk to me, and I have some questions. And the demon right now is learning to use your nervous system, and it will begin to communicate through your body, and I need you to talk to me, because I have some questions. I'm talking to the demon within you. You can hear me. There's someone out there that I have possessed with a demon. I need you to tell me your name. So, and that's going to happen. Very interesting. So right now we have, looks like a tornado outside. It's quite violent.
Wow.
Very interesting. But everything got really weird. All of a sudden we brought this up.
Cool.
Yeah. Do we have the webcam on?
No, we don't. But
damn.
If you wanna,
I'm telling you, something just entered the room here, and you got to see this.
Maybe that's
is the webcam on?
No.
Yeah, because that's spooking me. All right, and I don't get spooked very much.
Oh, damn it.
But anyway, back to the subject of this. I thought that cam was on.
No, we had trouble.
Son of a bitch.
Let me. I'll try to bring it up while we're talking.
All right. Anyway, let's get back to this because it's getting pretty dark and weird. All right. Before the show, the demon was prepared to bring you to me. Your body has been taken over by a demon. I did that. That's right. A little extra bonus that you get during my show. You never know what's going to come up in my shows. You know, this is something you'll never hear on the Arbell show.
Oh, heck no.
They wouldn't dare do anything like this.
I don't know. They tried once with the stopping the hurricanes or tornadoes or something, scared the hell out of them, and they didn't do it anymore.
But I have just taken over a human body with a demon.
Cool.
And the demon is now learning the nervous system, and it will communicate with me. Now, I already have one email, and I'm very, I want that person to do this again. They're frantic because they're panicking right now. Because they know that something took them over. It's one of the signs.
Oh, man.
Don't fight it. Accept it. There's nothing you can do. It's taking over your nervous system, and it's taking over your life and taking over you. Accept it, and you'll be fine. I will release the demon from your body after communication. That's the deal. For now, you're going to have to put up with it.
Well, you want to take a quick break and try to bring the video back up again?
Yeah, let's,
okay.
Right now we got thunder and lightning, and it's really bad out there, so let's bring this thing up.
Okay, cool.
And the shadow is not here right now. Let's see if we can bring the shadow back. That was pretty weird.
Okay, cool.
It got really cold, and I saw this thing. That's really bizarre. Let's get the camera over here and take a look
we'll
and see if we get it.
All right. And,
yeah, that moment, a really weird moment. I thought we're alive.
No, we were having trouble with the video stream, so that's why we broke down when audio.
You see?
Yeah.
I need my own TV show. I'm in this haunted mansion.
You
know, and why do we have these headaches for this? We're being harassed. And I want to ask my listeners out there, you know, in America, tell these idiots in media, there's something exciting going on here. The miracle is right here. Whether you agree with it or not, it's something that'd make great television. Fight for this. Come on. You know, the technology internet isn't up there yet. It will soon be where I can broadcast in the same area as you see it on television.
Right.
But until then, we're going to be dealing with, you know, like there are holes in the ship right now, and we're being harassed.
Yep.
So we got to, it's a constant fight. It's not easy to get this word out to you.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and bring the stream down, and then I'll go ahead and put some tunes on the stream, then we'll bring it down and bring it back up once we get the video up and running. Okay, so everyone sit tight. I'm going to go ahead and realign the stream here. I'll play play some more Dead Can Dance, and we'll go ahead and take a break. All right, everyone sit tight. You're listening to Radio Aaron, the voice of Lucifer. Hello, and we're back. We have audio, and we have video. And the video might not sync with the audio. It might be a little bit behind by a second, so that's okay.
Well, with the moment, I wanted to happen again. So, hey, audience, let's make that black thing, whatever it was, it went right in front of me, and let's make that thing happen again. Yeah, it was that's the thing. That's the moment we want to see live, and one of the reasons why we have a camera live here, because things like that have been happening. I'm in a haunted mansion here, and something went right in front of me right here, and it got really cold, and this is the moment that we're looking for, and so let's get that thing to happen again. Whatever that was, I don't know how it happened. You know, I don't fully understand these things, these apparitions. So let's have you all enjoy this now. Let's get it to happen again, if we can. I mean, I don't even know how to get it to happen. I wasn't anticipating this.
Oh,
so let's
man.
Get that black thing, whatever it is, to move.
Oh, and
you see it?
Okay.
And by the way, Heather wants to say hello.
Oh, cool.
Hello to Ronan and everyone. Ronan, thank you. And she's going to have her computer up, and she'll be chatting again.
Oh, cool.
Her computer isn't here yet.
Oh, and since everyone's on the we're going to be moving the show an hour later. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific next week. So I just want to let everyone know. It's 2200 Greenwich for those in Europe.
So we're just going to move it back an hour. And that will help, help facilitate all of us evolve greatly.
Yay!
And also off the air we were talking, someone had asked, is there any way for people to help facilitate your recovery that are, since we're not with you?
Yeah, thanks, Amber. Thank you. Yeah, yes, of course. And I know I'm getting a lot of people who are sending me really positive energy. I can feel that. And I'm getting a lot of attention here. I'm getting a lot of help here. And I've healed significantly. You know, doing better now. It's 2 days without sleep. Last show was 4 days without sleep. So I'm doing a lot better now. My ribs are healing well, and my gut is not so traumatized. I'm not bleeding anymore, so that's good. And I'm feeling a lot better now. So thank you for all your healing. Thank you for thinking about me. I really appreciate it. And of course, the more energy I have, the more I can give back to you. So it's greatly appreciated. And right now I'm doing fine. Like I say, two of the primary 11, they're working day and night to see to it that I get better. And I just appreciate them being here, especially Julie and Heather. They are just wonderful. So, Heather, did you want to say, you wanted to say something about, hello, you got to come up. She's too nervous. Anyway, she says, you want to talk about cloning? She wants me to be cloned. That's a compliment, I guess. So that's it's possible. Yeah, let's find out where they're cloning people and get it done.
Exactly. Can you switch ears on the phone so we can
hear
you? Please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh,
yay,
there we go.
Much better. Now we can see your face. Hey, look at that smile. Hey.
I'm smiling all the time here.
Right.
Belting that smile face.
There you go. Now we just need to work on getting Jennifer up on the stream.
Yeah. Where are you, Jennifer? You're not up there. Come on, Ghost. Let's go. This is like, it never happens when you want it to.
Exactly.
But you never know. I mean, this place is so freaking haunted.
Yeah.
Anything can happen here. So I'm just, that kind of freaked me out. So I'm kind of
Everyone's open. Commenting on your hat. They're saying, very nice hat.
Oh yeah, it's a gun. I can put gun shells up here. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I'll never do that though. But I do actually occasionally have to carry a gun. I hate doing that. It's because in America it's such a violent country. People are obsessed with violence, and I saved my life with that Glock one time. I had a group of people have felt that a white guy shouldn't be walking on the street. This was in Oakland, California. And they were going to kill me. And they made it quite clear that I was dead. And, man, if I hadn't had a Glock, you know, I'm telling you, I would be dead. I immediately pulled it out and had it fixed on the alpha in the group. I had it fixed on his fourth intercostal space. There, you know, I had a cobalt-tipped explosive round, 9mm. I had it fixed on his fourth intercostal space, and if he had flinched, wouldn't be alive.
Wow.
So because of it, it was a peaceful result. They recognized that they were all going to die, and they immediately, froze, because I told them, I screamed hands. You know, it's what you're trained to do. So they were thinking of their hands. Not moving them. And so they froze. And I told them to slowly step back, and I want to see all your hands. And they slowly stepped back. And, they dropped their knives, and that was it. I said, I don't want any trouble. I don't want anybody to die. You know, let's just forget this. Here I am talking about it on national,
international,
video and radio, whatever, the internet. So, it saved my life and saved theirs. So there's, in America, I owe my life right now to that Glock. And that's terrible, isn't it? That's life in America. I don't like this. It's get me out of here again. You know, if there's a country out there that really doesn't into guns and I don't want to have to carry a gun.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well, we saw part of the shotgun, I think it was, last night.
Yeah, it's in some kind of assault rifle. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun, funny, it's America, I make fun of it. And
well,
I'm trained, so I, you know.
One of the listeners said you remind them of Yul Brynner in Westworld with that hat on.
Oh, yeah? Yul Brynner was much better looking, I think. Although, Heather says no.
No, he doesn't have your eyes. Are your eyes gray, by the way?
They're green. Very, very green.
Okay, because they came across gray in the stream.
Well, they're very light green. They're emerald green, and I have emerald earrings that accent them. So when you see me wear the emeralds, the green in my eyes really perk up, really show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it depends on the type of lighting you're getting, and of course you're getting, you know, not the best technology over the net, but they're very green.
No,
I had very green eyes.
Cool.
Heather says they're good.
Oh.
So she doesn't like Yul Brynner.
She doesn't like Yul Brynner?
No.
Oh, whoa, okay.
She likes me, though.
There you go.
Julie says she likes me, too. She likes me better than Yul Brynner.
Well,
thank you, Julie.
Well, considering Yul Brynner's
dead. You didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
Yul Brynner's what?
Yeah, Yul Brynner's dead, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we're like.
Oh, he lives forever in the silver screen, I'm telling you what.
I'm telling you.
Great.
Getting back to I wanted to get back to the demon. Since the demon's not interested in your soul, when it possesses somebody, what happens with the soul? I mean, because if you give up your soul for an angel, how do you get possessed by a demon then? Do you have to give up your soul?
Demon will not enter the body unless you are soulless. You have to have an empty space there in your hotel, otherwise it's not going to come in there.
Ah.
So you got to have a vacancy sign on your forehead, spiritually speaking. And there are a lot of people in the world with vacancy signs blinking. And so a lot of people could be possessed by demons, but the demons are less inclined to possess us unless, let me put it this way, there's a reason why a demon is entering the body of one of our listeners. It's because I need information. There's a specific thing I need. And it's a process of gaining information from the spirit world. I need to know what's going on in the angelic war. And so I'm going to get some information here. And I will share it with you. I'll share as much as I can about the experience. I'm getting this email. I think we have the person.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Yeah, something's very strange here with this. It could be just someone who thinks that they're possessed, and they may be possessed with something else. But I'll have it confirmed because there are three key things that the demon is charged to do that I have not discussed here. And I have these things written down, and as soon as these things are discussed, I'll have this confirmed, that in fact this person is possessed with this entity, and I will be able to discuss the information that I'm looking for.
Okay. Two other things. The new temple in Phoenix and any updates on the books?
The books will be out within 3 months. Three books will be. And the temple in Phoenix is a go. Right now, Evil Ariel is in France. Hi, Ariel. They're in France. And we're waiting for him to return for Europe. And he's my partner in this temple in Phoenix. And that's where the occult broadcasting network will commence.
Okay. Is that still a go for September time frame?
Yes.
Okay.
That time frame, it's tentative. It was always tentative. I'm working day and night to see to it that happens.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and that's for all of you, and thank you for your support. Let's keep this thing rolling. Tell your friends. And France, I love you. Thank you for saying no to Western capitalism.
Yes,
you have no idea how that has destroyed America, destroyed the future here.
And now Britain is like, well, you know, I guess now they're going to try to pull out gracefully.
It confirms my suspicions and my view of the future of a one-world government. This is falling right in line with a one-world socialist government. I have been predicting this for years, and you're looking at its birth. You're experiencing birthing pains right now in Europe. You can see the markets go through chaotic. This will stabilize,
yeah.
And things will calm down. You're experiencing birthing pains. Welcome to chaos. Accept the ways of chaos, and you'll have this order emerge. Just accept it. It's okay. You're experiencing birthing pains. Europe, you're wonderful. France, you did the right thing. I understand there's another country that's done this.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Netherlands,
you,
yeah. The Dutch were like, yeah, they said no, too.
The Dutch and the French, oh, I love you all.
I can't understand why the Swiss said yes.
Well, you know,
that was kind of weird.
Well, here's the other thing. The Swiss just voted yes to abolish their passport system by 2007. So you see, there's still, and it narrowly passed, you see there's this openness, there's this unity, there's this idea of combining things under one currency, one government, the whole thing. It's still alive and well. Their borders are open. So by 2007, you're not going to have this problem with the passport situation. While America is isolating itself from the world, closing its borders, the Swiss have opened their borders. They become an open society with their neighbors. They trust each other. They're showing that they trust each other with this vote. And so, again, this just confirms this healthy idea of a one world government, a one world socialist government. There's a socialist revolution and an undercurrent happening amongst Europe's youth. And that's the future of the world, because Europe took care of its youth. America did not. America's youth are just kind of hanging in there, waiting for something to change. And, the pendulum's not going to swing on its own.
Yeah, you feel it.
You got to get active.
You see it in the dispossessed youth. They're just, they have nothing to do.
They're in a state of dismal woe here.
Yeah,
and they're surrounded by old fucks. This is a gated community of 55-plus old fucks who just, oh, those goddamn kids. Get out of here. Put them in jail. Nurse, come out of me like pudding. And I hate chocolate pudding. God damn it. You can just hear it,
You know those imitations you do take on a greater dimension when we can see you doing them now.
Oh, you should hear it in the middle of the night. It's funny. The neighbors, because it's summertime here, and so the neighbors have their windows open all night long. It's all these mansions around here. And God damn it! Nerds! It's as loud as it can be. And next day, people are looking bewildered. They're standing in their front of their properties with their hands on their hips, looking around like, the hell was that last night? Of course, if I'm asked, I'm like, I don't know. What is that? Some old guy, man. He's got diarrhea, and he's screaming at his nurse. What the hell? I give him that visual image of chocolate pudding.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, man. They went my whole thing for chocolate pudding. Some of the listeners are wanting to know how old you are. I think these are some new listeners that we have.
I haven't had sleep in 2 days, so I look kind of bad right now. So I don't know. Depends on what you think I am. I'm a longevitous, and I'm not aging normally. That's all I can tell you. I have the enthusiasm of a 12-year-old child. I get about 3 hours of sleep, and I'm at per day. And I don't feel that I'm aging normally. And anyone who knows me will agree. And now the primary 11 are gathering. My youth I'm getting younger. And I've been under a lot of stress. I've been traumatized. I've been hurt recently quite badly, pretty close to dying, actually. So I'm recovering from that. And I still can't breathe out of this, my left lung. It's still collapsed, partially, because I punctured a lung. Damn ribs is broken on the side. So, but I'm breathing real well out of my right lung now, and I feel great. I'm healing. And I would say in another month or so, I'll be looking my optimum body age, which would be about 23 to 25. I'll be there.
Cool.
Give me another couple of months, and I'll get back there. I heal really fast. I'm a tough guy. I can handle it. So right now I'm in bad shape because I fell off a ladder. It's like 60 feet up there.
Wow.
So it's a tall place.
When I was doing some...
I love restoring it.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely going to have to take us on a tour of the house.
Yeah, and by the way, my body is not aging normally. And it's not a matter of genetics.
Yeah.
Something very bizarre is going on here. And I've taken very good care of my brain all my life. And so I don't know. I think the neuroendocrine theory of aging may be correct. If you take care of your brain, you don't age normally. I believe the old age is a disease. and that you can combat this disease and you can reverse it. We're in the age of miracles with telomerase and things like this on the horizon. I'm telling you, you don't have to grow old. You can be young all your life. You don't have to succumb to this disease.
Right.
And I'm living proof of that. So
is the is hydrogen is just one of the many things that, that you take, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, hydrogen is one of the – this stuff's expensive. Deprenil is another one. I take a regimen of Deprenil. Deprenil will triple the lifespan of rats in a laboratory. It'll protect their brains from aging. That's been proven.
Deprenil, huh?
Deprenil, yes.
Okay.
And I take a regimen of Deprenil and a whole number of things. And I do need to release my book on this because people want to know how in the hell I'm doing it. And I know how to take supplements. I know how to get prescriptions. I know what kind of prescription. You have to teach your doctor about longevity and prevention.
Yeah.
Because physicians do not learn, especially here in the West, they do not learn anything about prevention because it's bad for business.
Yeah.
You know, they're drug whores. They're delivering drugs to you. That are addictive and harmful. But there are good drugs out there. And for example, Dilantin. I take low doses of Dilantin or Phenytoin, 25 milligrams. I take 25 milligrams every night before I go to bed. So I have a Phenytoin level in my blood, a titer Phenytoin, and this also crosses the brain-blood barrier and protects the brain from aging.
And what is it called?
I can lower cortisol levels, and it can also, which also protects the brain from aging, and also increases IQ. So hydrogen actually mimics nerve growth factor. So you take hydrogen under the right conditions, and not only will you increase your IQ, you will maintain a healthy number of brain cells.
I have noticed that since I've been on my regimen of hydrogen and doing the green food with the ultimate meal,
yeah,
I have had an increase in energy, and I have noticed some changes, and just the things that I've been feeling growing older, and I don't feel them as much anymore.
Of course not. And of course you have to match resonance with me too. When people are close to me, they get younger. And matching brain resonance with someone who's doing the right thing will keep you alive, keep you going, and keep you young. So I really believe that. I believe that we can help each other. And you want to keep the toxic people away from you in your life because they'll make you old.
Yeah.
So if there's a toxic person in your life, stay away from them.
Well, that's what I was wondering about with, you see a lot of fitness people advertising things. And
yeah, and they look old. I know, it's funny.
What's weird is they have like the body of like a 25-year-old and their head looks like they're 80. You know, it's like, how the hell did that happen? I'm sorry,
they don't know how to take their supplements right. That's what they're doing wrong.
Is that what it is?
It makes them look old.
Yeah. And you know, I saw this one guy, he's promoting some age-defying stuff. And,
ridiculous.
And I used to see a lot of them, you know, come through when I was doing my vitamin thing. And I'll tell you, it was, I used to kind of laugh at them because they'd come in and give me advice, and then I'd ask them how old they were, and they were like, oh, well, I'm 25. And I'd be like, well, how old do you think I am? And they were like, oh, I don't know, like 20? And I'd be like, no. Add an extra 10 years to that. And I looked younger than they did.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I didn't work out, you know, for 12 hours a day, 7 days a week like they do.
Yeah.
Well, I met someone my age recently, and I thought they were 60.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I.
Well, I had.
When they had learned my age, they were like, "You can't." They had to see my license.
Yeah, I had that happen to me too.
Yeah,
I was in the late 20s.
What these people do is they eat meat to feed their bodies. And
that's right.
They do things to their bodies that are really bad, and they don't know that that's what's making them old.
Dear my vegan friend, my hat's off to you. You are definitely on the right track. So, but it's difficult to be a vegan. I'm a vegetarian. Jennifer, you're a vegetarian.
Yes.
That makes a huge difference in how you age.
Yes.
You can smell meat eaters. I mean, they smell putrid.
Yes, they do.
And they look putrid. And they're putting that negative energy into their body. Remember, these animals, especially here in the West, are tortured before they die. And that resonance is there. It doesn't go away. You look out into the universe and you see star systems that have long burned out, yet they're still there. that torture, that pain and suffering of that animal, that is still there. You're consuming that. You know, you're this kind of, you know, just, I don't know, you're dripping fetidly at the blood of this animal and you just can't get enough of it. It's horrible to watch these people chomp into their hamburgers and stuff like they're a Burger King. And you've seen this perverted figure of this scary looking king with these carnivore teeth, you know, looking at you with blank stares.
Now the promotions are him facing off with Darth Vader. And it's yeah. Like, oh, God, what sick, twisted marketing play is this?
I know. Well, think of the animals that were tortured to make that meat, and you're eating it. You're consuming it. You're becoming that pain and suffering.
This week,
good for the Christians.
There was a story saying that the meat prices for this summer are going to skyrocket due to the demand for meat. Americans are eating more meat than they've ever eaten in the entire history of meat production.
America, you are doomed. Spiritually, you are on the wrong path, and you've been on the wrong path for years, and you're going down.
And so meat prices...
Spiritually, America, you're doomed.
Yeah.
And people are going, well, I don't care. I'll pay anything for the cost of a good steak. As they look terrible, they look like they have cancer, and they probably smell like they have ammonia, smell like cancer patients do. And you can just smell that on them. You're, like, looking at them going, oh, my God. And then grilling your meat, too. The charcoal parts of your meat also are huge carcinogens that you put into your body. You might as well smoke a pack a day.
And the trend in America right now is to grill everything.
Yeah.
And that causes an amazing amount of pollution. It's terrible. It's the trend now. Everyone's grilling. And, of course, you know, you're giving yourself cancer.
High-protein, low-carb diet, it doesn't work.
Yeah, the Atkins diet.
It makes you sick. It overloads your liver with all kinds of crap, and you can't digest the fats properly, so you develop cholesterol and heart disease, and it kills you. And there's a lot of people out there who are overweight who already
it's
have
a factor.
That problem.
Yes, it's a major factor. Calcium hypochlorite residual in your water supply is another major factor in athermatous plaque formation. But then again, you know, what's worse, polio or 30-year death from athermatous plaque formation?
Right.
So I think spending extra money on killing the waterborne illness with natural sources is better than killing people over a 30-year period. But it's good for the pharmaceutical industry,
yeah.
Pretending that they're going to help you with cholesterol-lowering drugs. By the way, cholesterol, this is not a major factor. Cholesterol is a joke. Cholesterol is not what we're dying from.
Yeah. So much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten off my EDTA regimen as well. So now I'm just strictly going with the green food and the hydrogen.
Be careful with EDTA because you don't want to develop... the problem with that is you've got to be real careful about stripping away some of these heavy metals, and also you can soften this plaque and dislodge it if you get too much of this chelation therapy in the wrong way. So it should be supervised by a physician who understands chelation therapy. So if anyone is considering EDTA, be extra careful and go see a physician. Who knows about this?
I suggest chlorella. Chlorella really is a great way to chelate your body.
It's a natural way to chelate.
What is it?
Chlorella.
Oh, chlorella. I
yes.
Think it's a Clorox. I'm like, what?
Chlorella is one of the oldest, it's just one of the first foods. It thrives in ionizing and non-ionizing radiation conditions, and it's ironically would be the last food. It has both RNA and DNA, 6% protein by weight. Don't ask me why I know this stuff. It's collective. In other words, you can live on it.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
I love it when you do that. That's really neat.
Yeah. And with that, we'll close the show. I'm telling you, it was a great show this time. I'm waiting for this ghost. It's not appearing, and I don't want to... we've overloaded our viewers' and listeners' brains, and I will release the book on longevity. And by the way, you're going to see a body and a head together that's youthful.
Yes.
You know, and and you're going to see that you can do this. Anyone can do this. You can be young, and don't worry. If you age your body abnormally, you can return it within a year. Do you know, realize every cell in your body is replicated in slightly over a year? It takes about 7 years to deal with bone structure if you want to really change it. But every year, if you nourish the cells in your body in the right way over a year period, you can completely recharge your body, and you'll be on the pathway to youth again. Aging is a disease.
Yep.
It is not normal to age. And it's not, people shouldn't be thinking that aging is normal. It's not normal. I'm living proof of that.
Okay.
I've been through total hell, believe me. I shouldn't even be alive after, but I'm so tough and so youthful and energetic, I can heal after the type of traumatic injury that I recently experienced. Average people would be dead. So,
cool.
You know, an abdominal injury is quite serious.
Yeah.
There's no way the abdomen can protect itself. And, of course, I suffered from a slight infection, and I have peritonitis. That's why my abdomen is swollen, and that's a deadly infection, but I'm healing. And, of course, I have a lung, a collapsed lung, so and I'm healing. I'm doing great. I feel great. You know,
sound great.
2 days no sleep. I must look like hell to you people, but apparently someone thinks I look young.
Yeah, you look good,
Aaron.
Yeah.
You look
real
good.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay.
You look better than you did last week, actually.
Oh, yeah, last week. Well, that's 4 days no sleep.
Yeah. This
four
is
days.
2 days with no sleep.
That's amazing.
You look better than more people with 3 days of sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, all right. Well, then we'll go ahead and wrap it up. I just have to announce that, yeah, we're going to be moving the show next week to 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 2200 Greenwich. And also a request for any affiliates that are rebroadcasting our show, if you could contact me, email for the show is host, H-O-S-T, at radioaaron.com, and just let me know you're rebroadcasting.
And by the way, I want to say about that, I don't care if you rip me off. Just don't be me. Be yourself. Don't be a false prophet. Don't do that. Be yourself. Be your own prophet. Don't be Ed Dames. All of them, they're trying to be me. Joe McMonagle, they're all trying to be me. Be yourself. That's all I'm saying. And now the thing is if you want to rip me off, that's super. I want you to take advantage of this. If you have a website and you want to get noticed, tell your friends that if they have a website and they want to be noticed, link up to me. I got the numbers to prove my numbers are booming. If you want people to come into your website, you got something to say, advertise my show on your website. And believe me, they'll link up to your show. Maybe not the first week because they haven't heard of me through you as much, but believe me, the word will spread like fire. This is hot stuff. Everybody wants to hear this stuff. They're riveted. I can talk for 4 hours, and a lot of people are saying, you know, it seemed like you only talked for maybe 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, it goes by so quick.
Well, most people have an attention span of 15 minutes. That's it. I can keep people riveted for hours with this stuff because it's fascinating. In fact, I'm leaving too soon. There's so much more to say. However, I know I've overloaded all of you, and we're not going to have such long shows in the future because
right.
I understand that the human brain can only take in so much information.
Right.
But it is enjoyable, and I like doing this. I have endless amounts of things to talk to you about. And I'll tell you about the result of the demonic possession next week. And here's the thing. That's if I get contact. And I think I already have contact with this person.
Oh.
We're gonna look at this and see what's going on.
Okay, before I forget, speaking of updates, your neighbor. Any updates on your neighbor?
Oh, yes. I've decided to keep the mansion, all right? And I'm going to let other Luciferians enjoy this. And right now I'm housing the primary 11 here. And this is a safe, quiet, wonderful resort type of environment. And it's undiscovered. And we're right off the water. You like to sail. You like to ski. Or you can walk right to the ski lodge. It is beautiful here. These old homes are historic. Most of them are built before 1900. And they're just magnificent. Patterns of wood. And it's amazing. I'm in one of the last rooms to be restored. This room is in the process of being renovated. Throughout the house, I'll show you when I get the camera.
Okay.
I'll give you all a grand tour of this place, and hopefully it'll pick up some ghost activity.
Cool.
Now, strangely, to my left, in a position of a Tau, right? The Tau is really symbolic of the twin serpents, so the Caduceus. And some of the glyphs you see in the ancient Egyptian glyph, you see the symbol of life, the circle, this worship of life, and so on. And you see the entwined serpents. This represents what the collective gave us an idea, a rendition of our DNA. And cross-culturally, we're seeing these symbols everywhere. In South America, you see the power, the T. In the Christian tradition, you see the cross, the cleansing, right? Although they perverted the whole idea. They ripped it off from Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, the twin serp, the idea of the uniting of opposites, so the DNA. And there, the symbol of the DNA, of course, is a symbol of blue blood, of purity, and of wind. No kidding, of wind as well. There you see it in the temples in South America. And I'm not going to talk about the temples yet. That's in a future show, because that will blow your mind. What I know about those temples there will blow your mind. Because they're related to things going on in Egypt. Anyway.
All right, cool.
And to contact. There's some strange stuff going on between the Hopi, the temples in South America, and contact, the UFO situation. There's something I need to tell you.
Okay,
future.
Cool.
However, these homes here are for sale, and you never find homes here for sale.
Right.
It's rare, because it's just one of these places that people hang on to. In fact, I like it so much I'm hanging on to it.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to the other Luciferians.
Well, what happened?
When I leave the country, I'll sell it.
What happened to as I think you called him, the bald-headed, pot-bellied, meat-eating trog that was next door? We sent the negative.
He's not feeling too good. In fact, it's been confirmed that it's been highly effective. The guy, you're going to laugh. This is wonderful. This guy could hardly, he was like Tor, you know, from Plan 9 from outer space. He looks like Tor now, dragging one foot. You know, he's totally out of breath. He had blue lips. He could hardly make it up the steps, and when he got to the top of the steps of his house, someone met him at the door. I believe it was his wife, and she said, "What's the matter?" So he says, she talks like that, I don't know. He says, "I don't know, I can hardly make it today. I just don't feel good anymore." It's a riot, man, it's kicking ass. The guy
cool.
looks like shit.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, thank you all. It's kicking ass, man. What are you doing? It's kicking ass. I got a picture of it, man. The guy looks terrible. He looks like Tor from Plan 9. Have you ever seen it? Tor died, like, within the movie.
Okay.
So keep up the good work, man.
Okay,
ooh.
Great.
And also, anyway, the houses to the house to my left, the house to my right, and the house immediately in back of me are for sale.
Cool.
And the houses here are never for sale. And all of a sudden, these houses are all for sale for the strangest reasons. And so I would love to have Luciferians live next to me, a community of Luciferians up here. And believe me, this place is undiscovered, so the house prices here are very, very low. When you consider what you're getting for your dollar, it's amazing. You won't lose your money. If you buy a house here, I guarantee you next year, you're going to make your money. You could sell your house next year, you're going to make a profit. Because this area is just now being discovered. And so get the homes now while they're here. I want Luciferians to live next to me here. We've got three homes that are immediately for sale, and I'd love to occupy these homes. That way we can dominate the whole block with Luciferians. And we can make a difference here with the environment. We can go to city council and get the leaf blowers banned, to get the gardeners to stop doing that. And we can make a big difference if we get our own kind living here in this community. So please, Luciferians, buy these homes. You're crazy if you don't. You can be living next to me, learning what I know, and you can be living in one of the most beautiful environments on Earth. You're in the midst of the world's largest and safest fresh water lake. This is essential to your survival. It's the cleanest lake in the world. You can drink the water in the middle of this lake. Did you know that?
Wow.
No cryptosporidium, nothing. It's clean. It's that clean. No mercury. It's the cleanest freshwater lake in the world, and it's right here, right in the middle of it. Technically, we're on an island. There's a bridge that connects us to the land. And I'm telling you, it's so beautiful here. And, okay, the world over, you've seen those calendars? I'm going to tell you a secret about this, right?
Okay.
The world over, everyone has seen these calendars of these beautiful autumn leaves.
Yeah.
Do you know why these leaves are unique here, unlike anywhere else in the world? Because of the mineral content in the soil. We have the world's deepest mines, and these mines date back to the time. We have copper that was delivered through a trading route. At one time, the Hopi, I believe back to the time of the Aztecs. Copper has been found in that region of the world that were mined, and confirmed mined, from mines up to 8,000 feet deep from here. Of course, back then they were 8,000 feet deep, but here we have mines which are 8,000 feet deep. This is, I'm on a mountain of copper.
Wow.
This is an unusual area in terms of how you feel as a psychic. Cell phones don't work very well here. In fact, it's a dead zone, a dead space. In terms of, it's like you're living in surrounded by granite. It's kind of strange in terms of the electromagnetic field. The feel of the area here is very odd.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm at peace and I can be a psychic here. Whereas if I'm in a high energetic state, such as in Phoenix or in there in Santa Clara, in California or in L.A., or in Paris, France, or someplace like that, we have a lot of, or in Tokyo, Japan, oh, man, let's talk about high energetic states. Electricity everywhere, cell phone use everywhere. It's hard for me to get peace. You know, it's just, it ages you. Whereas here, it's a dead field. It's a dead zone. You feel at peace here. It reminded me of Virginia, you know, in your mountains of crystal.
Right.
You know, there at the Monroe Institute. It was sort of an ambient atmosphere here everywhere. It's very romantic here. You got bridges, you got water everywhere, and the winters are just gorgeous and very romantic. So I encourage you to get here, and you're going to be isolated, but it's a university town, so you have all the amenities. You have an airport 5 minutes from here, so you can fly like I do around the world, right from an airport.
Wow, cool.
And so I'm nestled in the hills here, so there's no planes, you don't hear anything. It's just wonderful. Please buy these houses next to me. I'm thinking about buying the house behind me, but I'd rather have a Luciferina because I'm restoring this one. I don't want to restore another one. I don't have time. Please come here and buy these homes. They're beautiful, old, huge, old Victorians. And I would love to have a Luciferian behind me, in front of me, and to my side. And that way we can be with our own kind and learn from each other. And believe me, you're going to love living next to me. So we'll get here and buy these homes. It's now I'm going public with this because I don't want this opportunity. I don't want some profane person to buy these homes.
Okay, cool.
People just don't know about the area.
All right. Well,
please, Luciferians, buy the homes. Get here. Do it quickly.
Well, you've generated...
Because the prices are going to be up soon. Get them now because the prices are extremely low here for what you're getting.
Well, you've generated tons of activity in the chat room now, so...
Yeah.
There's many people who are looking to invest. I think that that will go over huge.
I think it will.
We can start a community there because once you do that, you could elect Aaron as mayor.
Exactly.
If I ran for mayor now, I would win.
That would be hysterical,
yeah.
And we can start changing laws and in the area, like, for instance, no burning, you can't hurt the environment, things like that, and we start making change for our own selves.
We have the cleanest water and the cleanest air on the planet right here.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. So get here.
Okay.
This is one of the last refuges of clean environment.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's still...
There's a reason why I'm here, by the way. It's not a strategic target. China, if it were ever to invade the United States, it would never damage this area because these freshwater lakes are so valued by the Chinese or by the Russians, by anyone. Russia would never hit this area. It's not a military strategic target. Reason being is that when they come here and take over the country, they can use this water to clean up and to feed and nourish its people. And they would never damage this valued natural resource. So you're safe here. From all chemical, biological, nuclear weapons, and never be hit.
Wow, cool.
And you're safe here because you got the cleanest water and the cleanest air left in the world. Because the air is scrubbed by... You're in the middle of this world's largest freshwater surface lake. The air is scrubbed clean every single day. You're getting air currents from the lake because there's always a difference in temperature between land air and water air. So it's always moving. Always cleansing.
Cool.
Yes, it's a good place to be. Get here.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
All right, well, I guess with that, we better end the show.
All right.
All right, thank you, everyone, for listening. I'd like to say thanks to Mr. X for helping me out, try to get the video thing going. And also for Michael for the website updates. And everyone, remember, we're going to be an hour later next week, so 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And we'll make changes on the website and let everyone know. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Any last words?
Just to tell people to get rid of their Tupperware. Just throw out their Tupperware. Anything plastic in your house, get rid of it.
Don't ever buy it in the first place.
Don't ever buy it in the first place, exactly. But just to be healthier, just start looking around you and tossing out anything plastic. And if you need to replace it with only things that are glass, metal.
Go with hemp, always.
Hemp is great. In fact, I'm going to start putting up a hemp place where you can purchase all things hemp on there.
And fight for the legalization of marijuana no matter what.
Yep.
Your only hope is to push for this. There's a great deal of medicines. There's a compound that's more powerful than Solu-Medrol for reducing inflammation without any of the side effects that only comes from marijuana.
Wow.
So marijuana is its source. You've got to get it. You've got to get this drug legalized. It's insane. Stop the stupid Western-inspired anti-drug hysteria because it's truly a war on human conscious awareness. That's what the drug hysteria is about. It's an angelic war aimed at destroying your ability to see, to spiritually see. Angels don't want to be seen. They are the enemy of mankind. This is your planet. Take it back. Fight for the legalization of your altered state of consciousness.
Okay, and we'll try to get some links up in the chat and on the forum.
You have a natural biological drive to achieve an altered state to be happy. And the angels don't want you to see them. And that's why you have a war on drugs.
Right, and there's petitions against this war and trying to get things legalized.
Europe, do not become us.
Yeah, they're on their way.
Take over the town, Aaron, could we legalize hemp in our town? I mean, could we legalize marijuana in our town?
No, we can encourage the police to look the other way.
Yeah.
We can tell the police not to, that there are ways to deal with way San Francisco and other parts too, but you see the feds can override that. You got the evil feds that come in, and they're like automatonic robots, and they just, we must put them in jail because, okay.
Hemp alert.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could put a stem cell research lab there, too.
Yeah.
I don't want to stay in this country. Please get me out of here. I don't care. Then I won't even give a damn about it.
Exactly.
Get me out of here. If there's a country out there willing to take me now,
That's a bargain.
I'll give up my citizenship in a heartbeat.
That is a freaking bargain.
Yeah.
I don't know why any country in the world would not take it.
I know. I'm quite valuable in terms of intelligence gathering tool. Hint, hint.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay. Well, I guess we better end it now then. All right. Any last words?
Well, you know what you goddamn Christians can do with your fucking cross of Jesus. But I'm not going to say it because I respect the primary 11. I love it so much.
I love it. Alright, another great show. Thank you guys so very much. And remember, next week, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And then I'm going to also start date stamping the shows at the beginning so we can know which shows when you bring them up. That way you'll know that today is the June 5th show. So next week, we'll start time stamping them at the beginning. Alright, thank you everyone for listening. This has been Radio Aaron, the voice of Lucifer.
Bye.